casualty toll is unclear. And there are frantic efforts to try to save those who are trapped. Frank Thorpe, a former CBS journalist who lives in Haiti, returned to his home in Port-au-Prince to find his wife buried under what used to be their home.
The entire house has totally collapsed. It's all on the ground level now. And she and one other person were completely trapped underneath about a foot of concrete.
They were rescued after 7 hours. Reporter Karel Padre is on the outskirts of the capital.
The hospital is collapsed. The National Palace is collapsed. I see at least five big buildings that collapsed. It's really a disaster.
He says his country is desperate for help.
We need help, any kind of help. We need food, we need clothes, we need water, we need medication, we need engineer. We have a country to build right now from scratch.
I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House.
The president's top priority right now is saving lives.
And Agency for International Development Chief Rajiv Shah told CBS News the first 72 hours are crucial to the rescue efforts. President Obama has been meeting with agency and department officials on what's described as an aggressive government-wide response to the disaster. The State Department has issued a travel warning urging U.S. citizens to avoid any travel to Haiti, Steve.
Haitian churches and families in this country are scrambling to reach out to. CBS's Peter King has more on that.
Across the country,
we just have to get no question about it. We'll do whatever it takes to get there.
Volunteers are scrambling to get to Haiti. Joy Portella is with Mercy Corps.
That team will work to assess what's most practical needs. Food? Do they need water? Do they need shelter? Is it medicine?
Haitian Americans are trying to find out about their loved ones. Chicago pastor Jean Lalite.
I'm panicked. You have your friends, your relatives, and then you don't know what's happening.
The weather could hamper efforts to get help to Haiti on the ground. Kevin Kerr is vacationing next door in the Dominican Republic, where there's been relentless rain.
The roads are horrendous here. They're mainly dirt roads. With all this flooding, it's made them very impassable, and I assume it's going to really hamper rescue efforts.
There is information this morning on the State Department webpage for people with relatives in Haiti. Some of Wall Street's major players will be in Washington today as a panel appointed by Congress looks for the causes of the financial meltdown. Economist Mark Zandi will also testify. He expects some finger-pointing.
Everybody from the mortgage borrowers to the lenders to the investment banks to the rating agencies to the regulators. I think there's plenty of blame to go around.
Is the Supreme Court ready for some football? CBS's Barry Bagnato says the justices hear a case rooted in the NFL's marketing and merchandising department.
Have you found anything, or are you a Raven fan?
With the Baltimore Ravens advancing in the playoffs, their gear's pretty hot right now at this sporting goods store. Jerseys on the wall in front of me, $110 each. Reebok makes them under an exclusive agreement with the NFL, an issue before the Supreme Court today.
Some people believe the case is larger than just about football apparel.
CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen. The question, whether a professional league is a single entity exempt from antitrust laws that foster competition. The answer could impact other business associations, such as Visa and MasterCard leagues of banks. To some NFL fans paying premium prices for jerseys...
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
AM760.net.
I'm Pat Woodard.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide. Very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snow plow driver... Driver's view is never assumed that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind the plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
AM760.net. Don't want to be an American
idiot. Don't want to be an American idiot. I know that sludge for brains like Bill Press, you're a Nazi and a Stalinist.
We have never been just a collection of individuals or a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America.
This is the Bill Press Show.
When you're responsible for reading the news to a city of millions, you need a gentle touch.
As for your greasy mouth self, that might help if you stopped eating all them fries you eat, making you look 6 months pregnant.
One of the top most listened to radio shows.
That voice of yours could be an attraction at a circus.
Are you joking? Is this a joke?
7.0 earthquake hitting Haiti yesterday afternoon. Massive destruction, thousands of people killed, and U.S. help is on the way. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton making that announcement yesterday of aid for Haiti. The president is going to speak about it today, this morning, before he goes off to an economic event in Virginia. And according to the papers this morning, the Situation Room was working all night last night at the White House, gathering information about Haiti and kind of coordinating the rescue efforts on the part of American agencies down there. As we hear any more news on that horrific earthquake striking the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, we'll bring it to you throughout the next hour here. On the Bill Press Show, this Wednesday edition of the Bill Press Show, Wednesday, January 13. Welcome to it. Good to see you today, and thank you for joining us. 6655-PRESS is our toll-free number. You want to weigh in on the issues of the day, anything from Sarah Palin to Haiti to taxing insurance benefits, whatever we're talking about, 855-77-377. And on the website, open as always for business, a very special, funny video from The Onion that we posted for you today. The Onion did a little spoof on the, you know, the jacket ad, remember, that was up in Times Square. I think it's already been taken down or will be soon, with President Obama modeling a weatherproof jacket. Well, The Onion has Vice President Biden hawking for Hennessy Cognac in a very sexy, provocative little ad there that they announced that Hennessy has now agreed to take down because they didn't have the permission of the vice president to do it. But it shows Joe Biden in a very unusual role as this male model. Take a look at it. It's up under videos on the Bill Press website at BillPressShow.com. Dan Henning and Peter Ogburn, Team Press here in place. Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good to see you both. Well, Peter's doing his job there.
There we are.
I'm sorry.
I didn't have a microphone.
He's got his job to do in there, in the room there.
I apologize.
Yes. He was on his cell phone, which is okay if you're in the production booth, but not, according to Secretary of Transportation, Ray LaHood, definitely not okay if you're driving the car.
We are hooked on our cell phones. Everybody in this room has one. Everybody in this room is guilty of using it while you're driving. Some of you are guilty of texting while you're driving, and we have to do better.
Yep. And Ray LaHood says we are going to do better and going to crack down particularly on distractions while you're driving. And what you ought to do, he said, is to throw your cell phone in the trunk or somewhere.
No distractions. When you get in your car, put your seatbelt on and put your BlackBerry, your phone, in your glove compartment, or shut it off. That's the only way that you can drive safely.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I do put my seatbelt on, and I don't use my phone handheld, but I do use a cell phone with earphones.
If you can't talk on the cell phone, you know, with a Bluetooth or speaker phone, I mean, it's the same thing as listening to the radio. I mean, you should be. I mean, unless you're brain
dead. I think it's a little more interactive than that. But it's probably this talking to somebody who's in the seat
right
alongside of you.
Exactly.
Yeah. But on the texting, Ray LaHood is absolutely right. And Ray LaHood, he's on a rampage, definitely on a rampage about this whole idea of distractions while driving. Good for him. Good for him. Good man, and he's doing a good job as the transportation secretary. All right, so coming up in the talk to Ed Henry from the White House, CNN's chief White House correspondent, about 20 minutes from now here on the Bill Press Show. Find out what the president is up to today. And we've been talking about the Senate plans to tax health benefits and the White House support for that excise tax on health benefits. We will begin this hour with the vice president of the National Education Association on that topic. But first,
this is the Full Court Press.
Other headlines news, Jay Leno going back to his old job. TMZ reporting NBC is ready to put the late night talk show host back as the original Tonight Show at 11:35 for a full hour, and they would be okay with Conan O'Brien leaving the network. Conan has said he has refused to go on air after Jay, who had hosted his new show for 17 years.
Train wreck, the whole thing. Starting 5 years ago, when they bounced Jay Leno from that slot.
The Pope
agreed to.
The Pope went to the movies, saw the hit film Avatar, and didn't like it. The Vatican is slamming James Cameron's blockbuster, saying it flirts with the idea that worship of nature can replace religion, a notion the Pope has warned against. They call the movie a simplistic and sappy tale, despite its awe-inspiring special effects.
I don't think the Pope ought to be going to the movies, number one. I don't think he ought to be taking the movies that seriously, you know, number two.
Although he's right, it is a simplistic and sappy tale.
Director Robert...
Why don't he go see Up in the Air with George Clooney? You know?
Director Robert Zemeckis is setting up talent for a 3D update of the Beatles' Yellow Submarine. Hollywood Reporter says the Forrest Gump director has tapped Cary Elwes to voice the role of George Harrison, Dean Lennox Kelly as John Lennon, Peter Serafinowicz as Paul McCartney, and Adam Campbell as Ringo Starr. In the 1968 version of Yellow Submarine, voice actors also portrayed the Fab Four for the non-singing portions of that movie.
You know what? I think still one of the greatest albums of all time.
Yellow Submarine.
Yellow Submarine. I probably know the words to all the songs by heart, but I will resist because we've got important political issues to talk about here. 13 minutes after the hour of the Bill Press Show, this Wednesday edition. Yes, indeed, the president meeting a couple of days ago at the White House with 10 labor leaders on an issue that labor leaders are not very happy about, and that is the president's support for a tax on health benefits that's contained in the Senate bill. It's not in the House bill, but it's in the Senate bill, and the president came out and said that he supports it, even though that tax, according to many analysts, would hit and harm as many as one out of every four union families. Union leaders are speaking out strongly against this, including our guest this morning, Lily Eskelson, who is vice president of the National Education Association, representing some 3.2 million educators around the country. Ms. Eskelson, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Wonderful to be here.
Thank you. So first of all, tell our listeners from your point of view and teachers across the country, why is this tax on health benefits wrong? It will raise the money, and with that money, we can extend health care benefits to 30 million Americans. Why not do it?
Congress is about to do something very, very good. They're about to make millions of people finally be able to afford health insurance. But Congress is about to do something very, very bad. To pay for it, they're talking about taxing the health care benefits of people who already have decent health care to pay for it. And I'll tell you what a lot of people aren't talking about, but that my folks who work at a public school know, and that's that it's a double whammy to women.
Because?
This plan says if your employer provides you insurance, you're not one of the 43 million uninsured Americans.
Okay.
Those benefits, they'll have a threshold. Anything above that threshold will be taxed at 40%. And it's based on the premise that if you're spending this much on health care, it must be wasteful or an extravagant policy. But if you're an employer that employs a large group of women, like, oh, I don't know, teachers, ladies, school secretaries, my folks, your health insurance plan probably does cost more than some employers who employ mostly men, because as a group, women are more vulnerable to chronic disease, diabetes, asthma. I found a study that showed a group of young women has a statistically higher risk of getting pregnant than a group of young men. Yes, I was shocked. We'll have hysterectomies, mammograms, hormone therapy. Yes, we go to the doctor a lot more than most men go. So if you are in any business, and it, like a school district that employs mostly women, your insurance policy probably costs your employer more. It's more likely to hit that threshold, and you're more likely to have to pay the tax.
Now, but isn't it true that the employer, this tax of the 40% tax is on the employer, not on the employee, right?
Well, and what employers are going to do is try and avoid the tax. Please. Of course they're going to do that. Now, here's the other thing that
the way they do that is by passing it on to the employee.
Of course. So what
they're
going to cut the benefits, or you're going to have to pick up more of the premiums. And the assumption is this is where the savings comes from. The whole premise. And as the employer cuts your benefits, that's what they're assuming will happen. Then they will pay you more. Then they will take the savings and they will put it in check. There's no requirement for them to do that. Those of us that are looking at school districts who are laying off people are saying they're not going to put that in our paychecks. If they put it in your paychecks, then they say you'll pay more in income taxes and Social Security taxes we could borrow, and that's how we're going to get the money. Not only is it a whammy to women, but it's actually, in our opinion, naive to think it's going to raise the revenue by all of those of us that get higher health care costs getting mm-hmm. higher paychecks. We just don't see that happening.
Now, so let me ask you about this then. Here's what I don't know. Understand, is in effect a tax on the middle class, and isn't that something that President Obama promised never, never, never to do?
Well, it's a tax on my members who are well with it. I know very, very few millionaire third grade teachers. I've really looked for her. I find her. And, you know, we know that fixing health care isn't free. We aren't sticking our heads in the ground. But, you know, the House bill said, why not a small tax on families making $1 million? Shouldn't we be looking at taxing a millionaire before taxing that school bus driver who might be working for minimum wage and isn't going to be able to pay the extra cost of picking up the health care cuts? If this passes, her district is probably going to cut her health care to avoid paying the taxes. She has absolutely no reason to believe that they're going to give her a great big raise because of that, and she's not going to be able to pick up the slack on her salary.
All right. Now, during the campaign, we here on the Bill Press Show, our guest again is Lily Eskelson, who's the vice president of the NEA, the National Education Association. We had a list of 101 reasons why you should vote against John McCain. And we double-checked it this morning because I thought, was pretty sure this is true. And one of those 101 reasons right near the top was that John McCain will tax your health benefits and Barack Obama will not. I mean, I remember Obama saying McCain wants to tax him. He calls them Cadillac plans. He wants to tax the plans. I won't do it. So what changed between then and now? And why would Obama be supporting something that John McCain was pushing?
They're looking for a way to pay for this. This is not the way to pay for it. You know, school teachers, school secretaries, the bus drivers, the lunch ladies, we don't make a lot of money. But we've taken pay cuts over the years to really maintain pretty good health insurance. Most of us weren't, as I said, among those uninsured Americans. But, you know, we have been supporting health care reform from the very beginning because too many of our students didn't get to the doctor. Too many of their families didn't have health insurance. We said this is good for the community, good for kids. And you're right. It would be the irony of the universe for Congress now to give finally decent health insurance to the uninsured by taxing the decent health insurance of the insured. That was not the message we got going into the campaign.
I have to ask you, Ms. Eskelson, were you at the meeting with the president on Tuesday or Monday afternoon, I guess it was?
I was not. And the only thing I can tell you is people are talking about this, and it changes every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Everybody's, you know, scrambling. Everybody, and I have to tell you, they see that this is a problem. I have a feeling folks that we're looking at, well, this isn't a tax on the middle class. This is a tax on the employer. And you do to that employer is going to be shifted to the employee. We all know that. But thank God this is America and we can still do something. You can call, you can email, you can bang on the door of your congressman, your senator, your president. You can remind them about the promises they made. And if you want to NEA.org, type in your zip code and up will pop the emails for all those people that live with you, that live around you, the president, the congress, the senator, and you send them a message. And the message is simple. Do the right thing. Cover people who need better health care. But don't pay for it by taxing working families of decent insurance.
Bottom line, if the bill passes in its in the Senate form, that's the bill that goes to the president. Can the NEA support that legislation with a tax on benefits?
We are looking at this thing changing every 5 seconds. It's
right.
Complicated. So many ways that they could do so many things that we are just working on saying do it and do it right.
So you're not ready. You're not ready.
We're going to have the final, but people have a chance to have their voice heard, and this is the time. Pick up that phone. Go to the email.
Listen, I think it's an extremely important issue. You're on the right side of the issue, and I just think it's fundamentally unfair for working men and women. Again, as you pointed out, they've given over the years in order to get good health care for their family, and now the government wants to turn around and tax them for it.
Change it. It's not too late. Our voices being heard.
We reach NEA.org is how people can weigh in on this for their members of Congress, their senators, and for the president himself. Lily Eskelson, thanks for your leadership. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Go get them. Lily Eskelson, president of the National Education Association, representing teachers across the country who would be very, very hurt by this tax on benefits. Important point she made out, which is that the people who pay more for their health care plans, it doesn't mean they necessarily have a better health care plan. They're in a target group that has to pay more for insurance. Women, seniors, and people who live in certain geographic areas. Just because of where they happen to live, the rates are higher. So this BS, calling them Cadillac plans, is nothing but BS. And unfortunately, it seems like the House has fallen for it. They're on the wrong track here. The House is the right way to go, which is just put a little, small little tax on the wealthiest of Americans who've enjoyed a tax cut under. It's the best way to pay for health care, not by taxing benefits. What do you say? 866-55-PRESS.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
AM760.net.
When did your life stop being fun? When did you start giving in to your anxiety, your worry, your fear, and depression? At what time did you stop being able to snap out of it? If being happy seems like something you'll never feel again, it doesn't have to feel that way. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. I suffered for over 20 years with anxiety, depression, and panic attacks until I took control of my life. That's why I founded the Midwest Center. So people like us could have somewhere to turn to find help. And to help you even more, I'm giving away my powerful free CD to everyone who calls in. You deserve to be happy, and there really is something you can do to help yourself, starting right now. Please call for your free CD. Call now.
Please call right now, and we'll send you a powerful, life-changing CD, absolutely free. Call 1-800-591-0194. That's 1-800-591-0194. 1-800-591-0194.
At Intuit, we love buttons. Start buttons, send buttons, you push the button, and it just happens. Well, we do the same thing with your small business payroll. Intuit Online Payroll has a Create Paychecks button. When you need to pay your employees, just type in their hours and push the Create Paychecks button. Intuit Payroll does all the calculations to create your paychecks and helps you pay your taxes. There's even live help if you need it. Get a 30-day free trial of Intuit Online Payroll at Intuit.com. That's Intuit.com.
GEICO has been around over 70 years, helping people save hundreds. But yesterday, I'm going through paperwork and I'm realizing just how many ways GEICO can save people money. Good driver discounts, defensive driver discounts, multi-car discounts, discounts for cars with airbags. And I don't mean having your mother-in-law in the passenger seat. Sorry, it's just a little car insurance humor. I think that joke's over 70 years old, too.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Live from Progressive.
Next on the line is Jake.
Hey, Flo. Years ago, I just went with my dad's auto insurance company. Could I be paying too much?
Maybe. But when we compare Progressive Direct rates to other top companies, you could save hundreds.
Hundreds!
Hundreds!
Hundreds! Is there an echo in here?
Compare and save. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Comcast presents The On Demand Couple. On June 26th, Shaquille O'Neal was traded alone in a new town. He turned to his friend Ben Stein. Luckily, Ben had the Comcast triple play with On Demand.
I start and stop hit TV shows and the latest movies whenever I want. This feels like home already.
You too can enjoy the Comcast triple play with On Demand. Now only $99 a month for 12 months. Call 1-800-COMCAST today and enjoy access to thousands of On Demand choices, including movies, TV series, and kids shows. And now, you can even watch online, anywhere, anytime.
Shaq, you're blocking my movie.
Watch it on my laptop.
You can watch it on your laptop? Wait, that's my laptop!
Hurry and call 1-800-COMCAST today and get the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand for just $99 a month for 12 months. Or step up to our HD Triple Play and get up to $200 back.
Offer ends 10 applies to starter XF triple play for new residential customers. After promo, regular rates apply. Equipment, installation, taxes, and fees extra.
Survey responses are from people just like you, sharing their Ovation experiences of thicker, fuller, stronger, and longer hair. Improve the health of your hair with Ovation Cell Therapy. Log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special introductory discount. That's OvationHair.com. And remember to enter AM760 for your special discount. OvationHair.com.
Ovation is so good,
it's guaranteed.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation. This is the Bill Press Show.
All right, 27 minutes after the hour, Ed Henry from the White House coming up next on the Bill Press Show, CNN at the White House. A little political update. Big upset last night in Northern Virginia. You know, all this talk about Democrats are in big trouble in 2010. Oh, yeah, Republicans are going to mop it up. But there's a state Senate special in Northern Virginia out in Fairfax County. And again, everybody predicted the Republican was going to run away with it because Democrats are in such trouble carrying other issues. But Virginia Delegate David Marsden from Fairfax cleaned up last night, cleaned the clock of the Republican, big upset. So maybe all those obituaries are being written about Democrats in 2010 and the Democratic Party are at least a little premature, if not dead wrong. Let's come back, talk White House stuff with Ed Henry from CNN.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Attention, listeners. Here's an important announcement on identity theft from Police Chief Joe DeLaurente.
As a police chief, identity theft was always a problem, but never at this level. The New York Times reported the theft of over 130 million credit and debit cards. And with potentially millions of stolen cards hitting the internet, maybe mine, I didn't want to risk it. I signed up for LifeLock, and you should too. Why risk suffering identity theft when just $10 a month helps protect you? You don't need to be a police chief to know that credit monitoring alone protects you, let alone help repair the damage after your identity or credit cards are stolen. Learn why this police chief chose LifeLock.
Call now and mention Chief. Receive your security document shredder, a $29 value, free. Call 1-800-983-0552. 1-800-983-0552. That's 1-800-983-0552. 1-800-983-0552.
Need advice about simple home repairs? The Fix It Up with Steve and Matina show gives tips on how to do repairs around the home, maintenance that could save you from costly repairs, advice on buying and selling your home, and provides a forum for homeowner questions. And as owners of Ridgemore Realty, one of Denver's premier home buyers, they'll even purchase your home if it's beyond repair. Tune in to the Fix It Up with Steve and Matina show, Saturday mornings at 10 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Have you heard about geothermal, the renewable energy that works even when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow?
Not only is geothermal reliable, it can operate at 300 to 600% efficiency. Geothermal is the smartest and greenest way to heat and cool your home. That's why Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling teamed up to offer Denver the peace of mind that your geothermal project is done by some of the top professionals in the field. Climate Master Heat Pumps, one of the top heat pumps in the world, powers the geothermal system. Your geothermal project could also qualify for a 30% tax credit. The goal is to offer a personalized solution to your heating and air conditioning needs to help you maximize your efficiency and reduce your carbon footprint. Call Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling today. 303-424-1622. 303-424-1622. We're online at majorheating.com. Start living greener today.
Right in 1/2 mile.
I'm not great with directions.
Turn right now.
But now my GPS gets me wherever I need to go. TurboTax lets me do my taxes the same way. It guides me step by step through my return, searching for every deduction I deserve and helping me arrive at my maximum refund, guaranteed. No wonder it's the most trusted tax software in America.
See for yourself at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money back guarantee details at TurboTax.com. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
AM760.net.
This is the show.
33 minutes after the hour of the Bill Press Show on this Wednesday, January 13, coming to you live coast to coast from our radio studio here in Little Hill in Washington, D.C. Down at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, Robert Gibbs doesn't like us using the word juggling, but let's face it, there's a lot on their plate down at the White House to talk about jobs, talk about all the security issues coming out of the Christmas Day incident. You got health care continuing, climate change on the back burner maybe just a little bit, not to mention the war in Afghanistan, and now an earthquake in Haiti. How's the White House keep on top of it? Well, I don't know, but Ed Henry makes sure that they do, and one of those there at the White House asking the good questions every day, CNN's chief White House correspondent. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Well, what's the latest on Haiti? Is the president going to speak about this today, I see? Do we know what time?
I expect in the next few hours he's going to talk. We don't have a time yet, but they've been working through the night in the Situation Room. You know, that's the Situation Room at the White House,
right?
Not Wolf Blitzer's Situation Room.
Yeah.
That caveat. But no, in all seriousness, you know, this is obviously a desperate situation, already desperate poverty there in Haiti, and now when you've got a natural disaster like this, it could just be an awful, awful situation. And so they've been working through the night at the White House, organizing conference calls and whatnot with the State Department and all the different agencies that can help. And I expect over the next few days you're going to see a lot of U.S. military assets moving in to try to help.
Is there any lead agency in a situation like this? I mean, I know it's FEMA in this country, but what happens when it's something, you know, around the world?
Well, what we've been told is that the USAID, the Agency for International Development, will really take the lead because they try to coordinate, you know, our aid around the world. And so you're going to see USAID, which is under the umbrella of the State Department,
yeah,
really take the lead here. But the National Security Council is involved. I think there's going to be all kinds of different U.S. agencies, and as I said, military assets. The Pentagon will be involved because we're going to try to get ships there into the port. We're going to try to, you know, send in some planes and all kinds of relief and Obviously, you know, in a situation like this, we're reminded about the, you know, how incredible the United States is and how generous the people of America mm-hmm. are, because there's nowhere else in the world where you have people mobilize and the government mobilize the way the U.S. can.
Now, we just saw Ban Ki-moon, the U.N. Secretary General, calling for an emergency rescue mission. And, you know, the United States will take the lead in
Absolutely.
That and always has. And the other thing happening today, two things are related. Goldman Sachs is announcing $20 billion in bonuses to their executives. And this Financial Crisis Commission, appointed last year, is holding its first hearing today in Washington. And, you know, you were there the other day at the White House. We were asking Robert Gibbs yeah. about whether or not the administration, what do you hear, is considering any tax on these bonuses or on the banks?
Well, I think that they're going to avoid a direct tax on the bonuses because that's pretty controversial, and, you know, they don't want to get into, you know, quote-unquote tax. But I think you're going to see a fee on the biggest banks.
Uh-huh.
President's going to likely announce that on Thursday at the White House. But he's going to come up with a fee that they hope will raise around $100-$120 billion from the biggest banks. They haven't worked out exactly how this fee is going to work. I mean, you may call it a fee. It might wind up being a tax, essentially. And they haven't exactly explained, because I don't think they've fully worked out how it's going to work. But the point is to try to recoup about $100-$120 billion from these biggest banks, because that's about the amount of money that they expect to lose in TARP funds, sort of unpaid bailout funds. And so, you know, I think the broader point when you raise, and I was sort of chuckling at the juxtaposition, I like the way you put that together. I mean, you've got Goldman Sachs handing out billions in bonuses while this commission is meeting to figure out what went wrong. And, you know, some of these Wall Street firms are going back to the same risky behavior. They're going back to the same, you know, live high on the hog kind of a pay structure. All this was supposed to be cleaned up, and I think there's great pressure on this administration, now that we're in an election year especially, to not just turn around the job situation, but to do something about, you know, what's seen as continued reckless behavior on Wall Street. And that's why I think, well, we're all talking about health reform and how that's the big reform issue, and it is a big one. I think the one that Chris Dodd has to do before he retires in the next year, with Barney Frank on the other side of the Capitol, the sort of financial security reform, the regulatory reform, putting in a new structure so there's no more Bernie Madoffs, there's no more, you know, the bandits, that's just as critical, because that's how we got into this mess.
Yeah, and I don't think the American people would have any patience to see everything go back to business as usual, right, without any re-regulation or without any fix.
You would think, except here we are, as you noted, you know, almost a year into the Obama presidency, and there's been very little movement on that issue. And I have to say, you know, the administration is trying, in fairness to them, but they've put a lot more time into health reform. They'd have to admit that, number one. And turning it around on the American people, all of us, I don't really see a great hue and cry. I see a lot of people angry about what's happening on Wall Street, but nobody's really been pushing really hard. There hasn't been a real national movement, you know, a Tea Party-style movement, maybe, to kind of say, hey, we got to do something about Wall Street. There hasn't really been that kind of that kind of action.
And I'm surprised that there's not a movement to say, okay, you've got to pay us back all of your TARP funds before you can give out any bonuses.
Yeah.
I mean, hello.
It seems elementary, except, you know, and you know, the administration's position somewhat, because let's face it, in fairness to them, you've got to be careful in terms of how hard you regulate, because then you flip it around, and if you regulate Wall Street too much, just as they're trying to recover, you know, you can make the broader economic situation worse, and you don't want the heavy hand of government to go too far. But, you know, and so the administration has been saying, well, we sort of are trying to lead them and sort of shame them into doing the right thing. But you know what? Shaming them into doing the right thing hasn't worked.
That's right.
Maybe you got to come down a little harder.
You know the voice, you know the face, Ed Henry, Chief White House Correspondent for CNN, our guest here on the Bill Press Show. Ed, you mentioned health care reform. The president is meeting this morning with Speaker Pelosi and with Majority Leader Harry Reid. We can assume, I guess, that this is about health care, and that this shows that the president is really now very personally involved in these negotiations?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, first of all, ought to be a fly on the wall for this, not so much for the health care info, but Harry Reid's first face-to-face encounter with the president since those unfortunate remarks. That's going to be interesting. But, yeah, I mean, look, the White House has said all along the president's been heavily involved. I mean, I'm not sure there's evidence to really fully back that up. He's been hands-off on some of the details. I think you're right that he's finally sort of really getting hands-on, because we're reaching the final stage. But I think the real story of healthcare right now is really not in Washington. It's in Massachusetts, where the Senate race to fill Ted Kennedy's seat is going to be next Tuesday. All of a sudden, the Republican Scott Brown is making this surge. He's raised something like $1.3 million a day or so ago on the Internet because conservatives realize if he wins this seat against all odds, all of a sudden the Democrats don't have 60 votes for health care. They've got 59. And if Martha Coakley can't win, they no longer have 60. Now, what's going to be an interesting battle is that if, and it's a big if because the Democrats still favor, but if the Republican wins, the Democrats have up to 15 days, I think, before they have to
start. Yes.
You know, they can count the votes and they can drag this out. But there's going to be a big national pressure campaign from the right saying, seat this man, because he could be one man that stops the whole health reform effort. And that's one big reason why the president's meeting with Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi today. They got to get this thing done in the next week or so, or at least get the heavy lifting done, because if somehow the Democrats lose that seat in Massachusetts, pressure's going to be on to get this done before that guy gets seated.
And, you know, the situation up there is a little murky, let's say. I mean, we've all seen the poll, right? One poll that I think was his campaign that showed that he's tied or 1 point up, and then the Boston Globe comes out that
she's up like 15.
She's up like 15. So, but you said, you're right, there's so much at stake here. And given there's so much at stake, why wouldn't President Obama go up and campaign for Martha Coakley?
Good question. I mean, is the White House
nervous?
I mean, they obviously won't go there. They're not going to confirm that. But are they nervous that if you send the president up there, like you did with John Corzine in New Jersey just a couple months back, and it doesn't work, do you just make a defeat that much more stinging? And I also think that, you know, when you look at it, sure, I mean, there have been some independent polls saying the Democrats up, so maybe this is just a lot of hype from the right. But on the other hand, I've been getting these emails from the Democrats that they send out through the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee marked dead heat, and they're saying, look, this race is now a dead heat, the Democrats themselves, and that's partly a way to scare up some campaign money and get the left all worried. But, you know, where Martha Coakley was last night, she was pretty close to your studio on Capitol Hill. She was raising money with Washington lobbyists last night rather than campaigning in her state exactly 1 week before. That shows me that for her to leave the state and come here to Washington to raise money suggests, despite the, you know, the stiff upper lip the Democrats might have right now, they're nervous and they're trying to infuse as much money as the right is putting in. I think Chris Saliza at WashingtonPost.com has a story saying like $6 million in ads are flooding like the final week on both sides, Democrats and Republicans. $6 million in one race just in the last week or so in ads. That just shows how much is at stake in this one race.
Yeah, I got to say, I mean, the idea that Teddy Kennedy's seat in Massachusetts could possibly go to Republicans enough to scare the hell out of Democrats,
well, and
I would think.
If Martha Coakley can't win in Ted Kennedy, Massachusetts, how do you think Blanche Lincoln down there in Arkansas is going to feel about a health care vote?
Yeah.
You know, she's going to look at those results and say, whew, you know, I mean, because Arkansas went big for John McCain, and she's already in a lot of, you know, she's down, and you know, for the 2010 midterms, and you know, I think a lot of nervous Democrats can be watching those results Tuesday night.
One final question for you, Ed. We haven't had a primetime news conference on the part of the president since July. When are we going to have another one?
Well, you know, we've been asking Robert Gibbs. You know, like you say, it's been July. I mean, this is a long time for any president of either party to go without really taking a lot of questions. Now he's taken,
and he's good at them. You know, he's good at these news.
Yeah, you know, but I think in July that one was on health care, and he kind of didn't really move the ball forward on it. And I think they're a little nervous. But you're right. In general, you know, he's gifted at this. And I think, you know, given what's going on with the terror situation, given what's going on with health care, jobs, all these big issues, President of the United States needs to be out there answering questions.
Well, we'll keep the pressure on. Maybe we'll get some answers. All right, Ed Henry, great to work with you, and thanks so much for your time this morning.
Take care.
All right, Ed Henry covers the White House for CNN, the chief White House correspondent.
Every time I turn to do a press show, I get pumped up.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation.
I don't need coffee. I throw the coffee out the window.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk.
AM760.net.
Hi, it's Bill Press here. Did you know that 100 million Americans have borderline cholesterol? 100 million! That's almost a third of the country. So what should you do to avoid cholesterol problems? Well, first, like me, You ought to go to your doctor and get checked out every year. I mean, you don't want something like high cholesterol sneaking up on you. And while you're at the doctor's, ask them about garlic. Garlic's clinically proven ingredient helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels. Garlic guarantees the effectiveness of its ingredients, so it's not surprising that pharmacists recommend it the most. And unlike other brands, you only have to take one garlic capsule a day, not five. Garlic is also very safe. It's all natural, and thankfully, it's also tasteless and odor-free. So remember, if you want to avoid cholesterol problems, eat right, exercise, and take garlic. Look for garlic in the vitamin aisle of your pharmacy and use as directed. Fight higher cholesterol. Eat right, exercise, and take garlic.
The following is the voice of someone who reported software piracy to the Business Software Alliance. How was it working with the BSA?
Process was great, very simple. That's sort of the nice thing about it being confidential, too. You don't have to worry about people coming back and saying, hey, you reported us, what were you thinking, that type of thing.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BSA.
Kevin Richards just sent his identity out shopping.
Hello. Hey, Kev. It's me, your identity.
Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah. The retailer is sending the stuff.
Good. What? Did you talk to strangers?
No. But I met a nice group of guys from Russia.
Oh, you didn't tell them anything, did you?
No. Yes, I did.
What?
Everything.
Well, I'm gonna...
Wondering where your identity goes? Get Identity Guard Total Protection. Total Protection scans activity regarding your identity, keeping you in the know 24/7. And if anything happens, Identity Guard's $1 million of loss reimbursement insurance and professional response team will help make things right. It's protection no matter where your identity goes. Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again.
Wait a second, Kev. Was that Yuri? Yuri would like to come visit.
No Yuri!
Visit IdentityGuard.com today. That's IdentityGuard.com.
If you do not live in this area, you are not eligible for the free two-week trial. Again, this is a free weight loss trial from the Foundation for Healthier Living. Anyone who is concerned about their weight may call now for a free two-week trial of a guaranteed weight loss program. If you do not lose the weight, you never pay for the product. Call for your free trial now. 1-800-400-8432. That's 1-800-400-8432. 1-800-400-8432.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
AM760.net.
This is the Bill Press Show.
12 minutes before the top of the hour of the Bill Press Show. All right, so, big day today, and the focus back on Wall Street. Got away from it for a little bit, but the focus should be there today. This happens to be the day that Goldman Sachs announces it's the first of the banks, all the different banks that got bonus TARP money from the federal government. It's expected that they will give out this year and announce soon $90 billion. $90 billion in bonuses to their CEOs and top executives. Just absolutely outrageous that these people bailed out by American taxpayers, get on their feet, and the first thing they do is go back to business as usual in these obscene bonuses. Well, the Goldman Sachs is the first of the banks, and they're going to make their announcement today. It's reported this morning by ABC News that they will announce $20 billion in bonuses, their top people getting at least $10 million each. And that announcement happens to come on the same day that here in Washington, D.C., the Financial Crisis Commission, appointed by Congress last year to look into what the hell happened on Wall Street and what caused the economy to collapse, what kind of funny money games were being played on Wall Street that undermined the economy. That commission is holding its first hearing today. It's headed by former California State Treasurer Phil Angelides, good friend of mine, also former Democratic State Chairman of California. The man who actually called me and asked me to run to take his spot after his term was up. Phil Angelides coming to town today, and they have summoned some of the Wall Street bankers in front of that commission, and they're going to be exploring not only what went wrong, but how to fix it, including, as we just were talking there with Ed Henry, a possible tax on bonuses or on the banks. That subject also came up yesterday when I had a chance to interview Jim Wallace. Jim Wallace, who is head of Sojourners and Sojourners Magazine, has written a powerful new book called Rediscovering Values on Wall Street, Main Street, and Your Street. Jim's point in the book is that you can't have an economic recovery without a moral recovery as well. And one of the moral recovery issues he talks about is this issue of bonuses to CEOs of banks.
And I've been pleased in this book. I've had a lot of small business people coming out and people who are probably voted differently than me last time. But they want to see a moral conversation too. And they're mad at what's happening on Wall Street. The anger, the public wrath on these bonuses is going to be enormous. And so the gap between Wall Street and Main Street now is really huge. And I think I want to see that anger turned into some positive energy for change. When Obama won the election, he said, I'm going to need the wind of a movement at my back.
Yep.
I wrote him that very day, and I said, and also at your front, to help clear the way and pull you along sometimes, as presidents often need to be pulled along.
I also asked Jim Wallace about the religious right and what happened to its influence.
I think they became way too political, partisan. They overplayed their hand. They got too enamored with power and influence and access.
They went from issues to really candidates and...
To hardball political organizing and defeating school board candidates and trying to impose their will. I think people got tired of them, and I got nervous about them. Plus, I think a new generation has come of age, and that new generation has no interest in the religious right. They care about the environment. They care about poverty. They care about human rights. They care about human trafficking. They care about war and peace. So a new generation has rejected the religious right, and I'm very hopeful for the agenda they're going to bring to all this. And these economic issues are really, for them, moral issues and even gospel issues.
Jim Wallace, the book is Rediscovering Values. There's a link to the book on our website, BillPressShow.com, and our full conversation, about 20 minutes with Jim Wallace, available. It's up and available to our podcast subscribers at BillPressShow.com. And speaking of smart people, oh, yeah, here's one who's not. Sarah Palin making her debut on Fox News last night. She just asked by Bill O'Reilly, let's show your stuff here. Let's see what insights you have into why President Obama's poll numbers have gone down a little bit.
President Obama's poll numbers sinking. I think it's the unemotional response to terror, as I said, the health care debacle. Anything else in play?
Of course they're sinking. It was just a matter of time before more of that reflection of the people's uncomfortableness that they feel towards this administration is manifesting in these poll numbers. There is an obvious disconnect between President Obama and the White House, what they are doing to our economy and what they are doing in terms of not allowing Americans to feel as safe as we had felt, and people finally saying, you know, this is not the representative form of government that we thought that we had voted in. After a year's time, people are saying, no, we want the White House, we want President Obama to hear from us. We want these common sense solutions with health care, with jobs, with the economy, with the war on terror to be implemented so we can get back on the right track.
What an airhead. Sarah Palin thinks that if you just keep talking long enough, people will think you actually said something. Doesn't work. Don't forget, if you haven't seen it, Going Rouge, the real look at Sarah Palin, put together by the editors of Nation Magazine. That book available also from our website, BillPressShow.com. And I'll be back with a parting shot about Sarah Palin.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Is your car payment dragging you down? Are you struggling to pay too many bills and need more cash? How would you like to save thousands of dollars a year on your car payments for free? The specialists at Guidian want to help you cut your monthly car payments for free. They can help you modify your current high-interest loan or find other options to save you money fast. There is no cost or obligation to find out more. Guidian gives you several options to save money on your monthly car payments. In fact, they will help you find the best solution for your individual financial situation. You can save as much as 50% on your car payments. Call for free information now. 800-257-5919. That's 800-257-5919. Don't wait until the bank takes your car.
car. Get more room in your budget now and save thousands of dollars a year in high-interest car payments. For free information about this revolutionary free service, call now. 800-257-5919. That's 800-257-5919.
Where can you find the best Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine? The Yak and Yeti Restaurant and Brew Pub. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. TheYakAndYeti.com.
This is Mario for the law firms of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760. Turner and Henderson are personal injury trial lawyers who have supported Progressive Talk since the beginning. They've devoted their entire legal careers to handling personal injury claims. They represent real people, not big insurance companies or corporations, and they've been successful at all kinds of personal injury claims. Turner and Henderson, call for free consultation at 303-300-1600.
Ben's always had dark circles under his eyes. He blames his dad for that. But then his work stress and schedule made them even more noticeable. To add to the problem, he didn't want to use some fancy eye cream made for women. That's why I got him Hydralyze.
Hydralyze is a scientific breakthrough that isn't fancy, it's effective. Developed by a plastic surgeon, Hydralyze visibly erases dark circles and bags, whether they're due to heredity, aging, or fatigue. If a man in your life has dark under-eye circles or bags, do him a favor and call in the next 10 minutes for a free trial of Hydralyze. The number is 1-800-400-5797.
My husband didn't think he had any options. Now he has the solution.
Men and women who've tried clinically proven Hydralyze are amazed at the dramatic results. If you know someone suffering from dark under-eye circles and bags, call in the next 10 minutes for a risk-free trial of Hydralyze. That's a free trial at 1-800-400-5797. 1-800-400-5797.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Parting shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
By the way, President Obama will be speaking to the nation about the situation in Haiti 1 hour from now at 10 o'clock East Coast time. Meanwhile, my parting shot on this Wednesday, January 13, they didn't have much left, but any shred of credibility Fox News still had was lost this week when they hired Sarah Palin as a political commentator. What a sad joke. First, the suggestion that she has any insights to offer is insulting. Say what you will about their politics. Fox contributors Newt Gingrich and Karl Rove, for example, are nonetheless smart and thoughtful. Palin is neither. But the hiring of Sarah Barracuda says more about Fox News than it does about Palin herself. They have now, finally, exposed themselves as nothing more than the media wing of the Republican National Committee, where any old Republican has been can get a job, and where endless refutation of RNC talking points substitutes for any real reporting. Seriously, after hiring Newt Gingrich, Karl Rove, Mike Huckabee, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck, did they really need Sarah Palin? Well, one thing Fox News never has been and is now even less, and that is fair and balanced. Hey, I'll be back tomorrow with Mark Halperin, the co-author of that great new book, exciting new book called Game Change. We'll talk to Mark right here tomorrow.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Uncomfortable.
Please stay tuned for a free weight loss offer following this story.
I gained my weight after I had my first child, and within a year, I gained like 150 pounds. For 20 years, I tried everything, you know, from different diets, exercising. One time I seen a friend, and when I seen her, she was slim. So I said, how did you do that? You know, how did you get so skinny so fast? And she was like, right-size smoothies. So that's when I decided to try right-size smoothies. And when I first started, the first 30 days, I lost 30 pounds. And by the time I hit a year, I lost 143 pounds. When I look in the mirror, I see a beautiful person now. I love the right-size smoothies. It's the best thing that happened to me.
If you would like to try Right Size Smoothies for free, call now for a free 2-week supply. If you don't lose the weight, you'll never pay for the smoothies. Call 1-800-900-3967. 1-800-900-3967. That's 1-800-900-3967.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. In the rubble of what had been a Port-au-Prince marketplace, a woman is pulled alive from the Haitian earthquake ruins. Relief officials say it may be tomorrow or the next day before they get some idea of the extent of death and damage. The man whose flight left for Miami just after the earthquake shook the ground says the airport is in shambles.
I was crying, screaming, yelling.
It was bad.
Bodies were piled high in the streets of Port-au-Prince. Shanties crumbled, the National Palace collapsed, and UN headquarters in the city pancaked. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says 150 people were inside at the time.
Many of our UN colleagues on the ground, including my special representative in Haiti, are as yet unaccounted for.
A dozen international peacekeepers are said to be dead, but American relief worker Gillian Thorpe and a co-worker survived. Frank Thorpe says his wife was trapped for 11 hours.
I jumped into the hole and I was able to see her wave her hand. I couldn't see her whole body. I could hear her voice. I couldn't hold it together, but all she was saying is just hold it together, hold it together. Just get me out of here.
American missionary Drew Trimble can see widespread damage a few miles from the capital.
I see some houses that have fallen. I see a lot of walls that have fallen into the street and the edges of people's homes. Some houses haven't fallen that were just, they're just tilting.
I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House, where President Obama has set a priority for an urgent U.S. response to the quake.
As the president has highlighted, save lives in this first 72-hour period, when that is the critical and absolute focus of our work.
Agency for International Development Chief Rajiv Shah is coordinating the effort. Now the president will have a statement on the government-wide disaster response just an hour from now, Frank.
A 9/11-style bipartisan commission on the financial meltdown begins its work minutes from now. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
They'll start by grilling CEOs of some of the biggest banks and Wall Street firms. Economist Mark Zandi says they need to cast a wide net.
Everybody from the mortgage borrowers to the lenders to the investment banks to the rating agencies to the regulators, there's plenty of blame to go around.
Zandi of Moody'sEconomy.com will tell the commission today the meltdown put the entire economy at risk of collapse, and steps need to be taken to keep it from happening again.
Health care reform will be on the table about 30 minutes from now when President Obama meets with key Democrats. Party officials say a controversial House proposal for a surtax on the wealthy appears to be dead. Google says it was the victim of a sophisticated but failed attempt to spy on the email traffic of Chinese human rights advocates. CBS News and CNET technology analyst Larry Magid.
Although they don't come out and blame the Chinese government directly, they certainly imply that and suggest that they might pull out of China as a result of this activity.
S&P futures are up 2 points just ahead of the opening bell. This is CBS News.
Now that the holidays are over, it's time to stock up on all the things my family uses most.
Member Yolanda Williams on Sam's Club Savings.
Bounty, Tide, Charmin, you can't beat the prices.
Sam's Club members save up to 37% on laundry and home care.
Those savings could more than pay for my membership.
Become a Sam's Club Plus member January 13th through the 26th and get an extra $100 in e-value savings. Visit your local Sam's Club to learn more. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
Introducing the new Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express. The only charge card that earns triple points on airfare, double points on gas and groceries, a single point on everything else. Points you can use for over a million rewards, including travel on any airline, anytime. The annual fee for the first year is on us, and you can earn 10,000 bonus points with your first purchase. Start earning brilliantly. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com to apply.
See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Colorado residents with ties to the country of Haiti are trying any way they can to get through to friends and relatives this morning. Haiti was hit by a major earthquake and tens of thousands are feared dead. People here say it's been almost impossible to communicate with anyone there. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper makes it official.
We don't have any details of the running mate or campaign structure. I mean, when we said we were going to take a week
and really think through as a family and listen to people and make this decision, that's what we've been doing.
Hickenlooper says his experience as a business leader makes him perfect for the job of governor of Colorado. But the state's Republican Party chair, Dick Wadham, says Hickenlooper is more of the same.
There is not a dime's worth of difference between Bill Ritter and John Hickenlooper. This is Hickenritter running for governor.
Current Governor Bill Ritter announced last week he will not seek another term. In sports, the Denver Broncos are losing a coach. Rick Dennison is on his way to Houston, where he'll be the new offensive coordinator of the Texans. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Southbound I-25 loading up and slowing down on the approach to 104th, taking you towards 84th. Speeds are going to dip down into the teens through that stretch. Southbound 225 also getting crowded after that Parker curve towards DTC and on up to I-25. Surface Street crash in the cleanup stages, northbound Santa Fe at Alameda. Quick check on today's forecast. We can expect a high of about 56, 57 degrees today. Currently, it's already 33. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
It's time to get that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday night, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at denverboatshow.com. Life is better with a boat.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. My belly is still full. I had a great dinner last night at Matan Fez on Colfax. That place is awesome. It's like,
I've lived in Colorado my whole life, from Denver here, and never have been there. I've heard great things. Did you sit down and eat?
Yeah, we sat on the floor and ate Moroccan food, and you eat with your hands.
Yeah, there's like no silverware.
Yeah, it's hardcore. It's like the Moroccan version of Casa Bonita. That's what
Is that right? The food's good, though, huh?
It's like really, I guess Casa Bonita is not really, like, quote-unquote, authentic, but it's like kind of one of these, like, it's like an experience, you know? And it's right on Colfax, and it's really nondescript outside. It doesn't look like a big affair, and there's, like, a belly dancer, and it was, like, ridiculous.
Belly dancers?
Yeah, I had my...
I get into that.
I broke my rule. I told you, my New Year's resolution has been I'm only going to drink beer. I'm only going to drink Fridays and Saturdays, but I did break my rule yesterday for one beer.
I had a feeling you would.
Because they had imported Moroccan beer.
Was it good?
It was pretty good.
Like light, or was it dark?
It was a lager.
It was a lager?
Light lager. Yeah, it was nice.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was a nice beer.
We got Oscar Blues coming in this Friday at 9:20.
Very excited. See, that doesn't break my Friday rule. And by the way, after that, for lunch, I'm going over to the Yak and Yeti. So,
oh, you got a big Friday. Whoa, watch out, Denver.
Friday is a beer day for me. And I just finished a couple chapters of my book, so I'm very, very psyched about that. Reason to celebrate for sure. We got a busy show for you today. At 7:20, we're going to be joined by Colorado House Speaker Terrence Carroll to talk about the opening of the 2010 legislature. I know, don't get too excited. I know the other legislative sessions have bowled you over with how much progress they've made. I'm just being facetious. And we're looking forward to talking to the House Speaker at 7:20. Then at 8, we're going to be joined by Alan Tonelson. He's got a new article in Harper's Magazine about manufacturing, globalism, globalization, and how many of the economic recovery programs being pushed out by our Congress may run right straight into older policies that it's passed that make an economic recovery much more difficult. And then at 8:20, medical marijuana advocate and lawyer Rob Corey will respond to State Senator Chris Romer. Yesterday, State Senator Chris Romer calling him and his protests of the Denver City Council rulings on medical marijuana yesterday. State Senator Romer calling Rob Corey and his clients childish. We'll hear from Rob Corey at 8:20, so the medical marijuana fights continue. But of course, I just want to take a moment to talk about mayor and maybe governor Howdy Doody. You might have heard the news yesterday. It is Howdy Doody time statewide. Howdy Doody announces for governor yesterday, as expected. You know, I'm of two minds on this, as you probably can tell. I'd like to see a contested primary, and I stand by my suggestion that if there is no contested primary, that it's worth voting in the Democratic primary, writing in none of the above if there's no contested primary. And by the way, the reason I suggest doing that in the primary and not the general election is because in the primary, you're not threatening to throw the election to the Republicans. Right? If it's going to be a Politburo style election where there's no contest in the Democratic primary, you can vote in that primary. Instead of voting for the one person you're being offered, you can write in, like Monty Brewster from Brewster's Millions, Richard Pryor suggested in 1985, you can write in none of the above. That would be my suggestion. But you know, there's a lot of speculation that Andrew Romanoff may jump into this race. There was talk about Romanoff maybe running with State Treasurer Kerry Kennedy. And I got to tell you something. I was not overwhelmed by Mayor Howdy Doody's announcement speech about why he's running for governor. Very, very vague, not really a lot of talk about what he would do, what specific policies he would advocate. In fact, this line from mayor and now gubernatorial candidate Howdy Doody sort of gave away that he's not really, at least in my mind, in my opinion, he doesn't really know why he's running for governor other than that he wants a promotion. Listen to this line.
We don't have any details of the running mate or campaign structure. I mean, when we said we were going to take a week and really think through as a family and listen to people and make this decision, that's what we've been doing.
So it's sort of like he doesn't really know kind of why he's running or how his campaign will be run. And, you know, that's a little disturbing. I guess it's also it's fairly early. And, you know, again, I'm of two minds on this. I'd like to see a contested primary. And I think that John Hickenlooper has a lot of questions to answer about what he actually represents, who he actually is. Remember, you know, the Denver Post, I think it was, noted that Hickenlooper, this would be his first run, not just for statewide office, not just against, if he's the nominee, not just against a Republican challenger, because, of course, the Denver races, there's no real Republican general election. But that this would be the first time he'd actually run as a Democrat in any election. You know, in Denver, technically, the races are nonpartisan. So this would be the first time he'd run as a Democrat. Now, immediately after he announced, Republicans, of course, went crazy, said, you know, he's a terrible guy, and he'd be just the same as Bill Ritter. And by the way, I don't necessarily think they're wrong. I'm not sure what the differences on policy are between John Hickenlooper and Bill Ritter. However, I am pretty sure what the differences are between John Hickenlooper, Bill Ritter, and Scott McGinnis, the presumptive Republican nominee for governor. There are a lot of differences. And I want to be fair to Mayor Howdy Doody. I think that he has been, in many ways, not all that friendly to organized labor. I think that he has, in announcing his candidacy and saying that he thinks the major problem with government is that there aren't enough business people in and around the government. I mean, I got real problems with that. That makes me really nervous because I think we're living in times when the major problem facing government, or at least one of the major problems facing government, is the fact that government is too close to corporate interests. However, credit where credit is due. John Hickenlooper did put his face and name out there pushing for the kinds of tax reforms in the city of Denver and in the state that needed to be made. He did campaign around the city pushing for some needed tax increases, and he did support Referendum C, which was a temporary delay, effectively, of parts of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, the so-called Taxpayer Bill of Rights. So, as you know, if you listen to this show, you know that I think that taxes is one of the big issues that we face as a state, fundamental tax and budgetary reform. And I think at least, at the minimum, to have a Democratic standard bearer, if that's what Hickenlooper is going to be, and again, I hope there's going to be a primary, but to have a Democratic standard bearer who has at least been out there in the past talking about the need for tax reform, actually campaigning publicly saying that there is a value in our tax dollar, that we are not just taxpayers, that we are citizens. You know, I think that's a fundamental difference between a Hickenlooper and a Scott McGinnis, a very fundamental difference. And I say this in light of a national political debate that I think is now being consumed, quite unfortunately, with the me idea of the tax debate in general. Right, even on this health care debate, right? I was driving into work this morning, and I heard on the, I think it was on the, on Bill Press's show, you know, you had a union leader. And you know me, I'm a pro-labor guy, right? But you heard a union leader on Bill Press's show being very angry at President Obama and the Democrats for considering a tax, what they're calling an excise tax on so-called Cadillac healthcare plans, instead of what the U.S. House passed, which was a, to pay for part of healthcare reform, a tax on millionaires. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, yeah, we need a tax on millionaires instead of taxing quote-unquote Cadillac healthcare plans. But what kind of bothered me was that even from union leaders who were opposing the Cadillac tax, which is worthy of opposition, we're still falling into the language of me. Right? The tax debate is always about me. Don't tax me, tax somebody else. Don't tax me. And I don't want working people to be taxed. I think millionaires need to pay higher taxes, not working people. But my point here is that when you step back at a bigger level, we need to be having a tax discussion in this state and this country where we are talking more about shared sacrifice and less about me first. And so I gotta say, when I was thinking last night about Hickenlooper, there's a lot of things I'm not happy about him running for governor and him being maybe crowned the Democratic nominee. But one thing that is encouraging is that at least, even if it was by necessity, at least he's somebody who has been out there in the past who has said that there is a value to society in paying taxes and that taxes are not just a me-first issue. Speaking of taxes, we are going to talk after the break with Colorado House Speaker Terrence Carroll about taxes as it relates to the upcoming Colorado legislative session. A Denver Post article says that the legislature may try to rescind a bunch of corporate tax breaks, corporate tax giveaways, if you ask me, to the business community. Will they go forward with it? The business community is screaming bloody murder about it. So stick around with Colorado House Speaker Terrence Carroll after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic getting busy around town. We're right in the middle of the morning rush now. Southbound 25, super heavy up in North Glen. Stop and go, actually, 120th to 84th. Also jams after I-70. Northbounder is going to be a little heavy from Broadway to around 6th Avenue. Expect a lot more traffic on 225 this week. They have some work going on Dam Road. It's shut down. So looking at southbound side, particularly stack up right now, beginning around Parker Road. Also got a new accident, Monaco and Leedsdale. Forecast, partly sunny, light winds, and a high around 58. Right now, 41 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
There is never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top-quality drain cleaning and router service and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call. Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or drainsolvers.com. Access fees may apply.
I'm from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking to
newlyweds.
Hi, my husband and I are combining our policies, and my mother-in-law says we can save with Progressive.
Well, with online, homeowners, and multi-car discounts, saving on car insurance is easy.
So you're saying she's right?
I'm saying get used to it.
Get great savings and more at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Discounts not available in all states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Majority of my hair after my first treatment, and in just a month, my hair started growing back faster. That's when I began using the Complete Ovation system. I'm getting compliments on how fast my hair is coming back. I am truly amazed and completely satisfied with your product.
Ovation Cell Therapy is completely safe, non-toxic, with no side effects, and with just a simple cream rinse type application, helps grow your hair thicker, stronger, longer, and faster, up to twice as fast. Make your hair healthy again. Log on to ovationhair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special introductory offer. That's ovationhair.com. And remember to enter AM760 for your special discount. Ovationhair.com. Ovation is so good, it's guaranteed.
Introducing the new Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express. The only charge card that earns triple points on airfare, double points on gas and groceries, a single point on everything else. Points you can use for over a million rewards, including travel on any airline, anytime. The annual fee for the first year is on us, and you can earn 10,000 bonus points with your first purchase. Start earning brilliantly. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com to apply.
See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
This is Lori from the Dollars and Cents Show for Women. Join us every Saturday morning for Financial Straight Talk at 11:30 on AM 760. Dollars and Cents for Women is a show for women by women. Tune us in for financial tips, stories, and advice every Saturday morning at 11:30 on AM 760.
The Randy Rhoads Show.
The birthers are now attacking Glenn Beck. Do you know that? Because Glenn Beck, he has mocked them as being crazies. Word to the birthers. When you're too crazy for Glenn Beck, it's a good time to take a look at yourself.
Randy Rhoads, weeknights at 7.
Look in the mirror. And if Joan Rivers is staring back at you, you're a Glenn Beck viewer.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Joining us now, Colorado House Speaker Terrence Carroll. He represents District 7, a district in northeast Denver, and has served as chairman of the House Judiciary Committee and Assistant Majority Leader. He is in his last term, at least in the House. Mr. Speaker, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
So I guess let's start with, before we get to the politics of the state and Mayor Hickenlooper announcing for governor, let's talk about the legislative session. The talk right now is that it's going to be, or at least the legislature is going to try to focus as much as possible on jobs, jobs, jobs. What can the legislature do to spur job growth when we've got such budget problems and when so much of what the legislature can or can't do is hemmed in by what the Constitution allows it to do?
We still have some wiggle room when it comes to creating an environment where jobs can be created, and we're going to run several bills to work on that. Ed Vigil has a bill on green job training programs, and we're going to do a nurse loan repayment program to try to get more health care providers out to the rural areas of the state, and we're going to do a lot of work to help people transition from the old economy to the new economy. A lot of folks have lost jobs that are never going to come back again, and we're going to work to retool our education system to ensure that folks can upgrade their skills and are able to move into new job situations.
What do you think is, if you could diagnose it down to one or two or three things, what do you think is wrong right now with the Colorado economy other than the idea that we are facing a national recession? I mean, are there specific things to Colorado that are wrong with our economy right now?
I would say one of the biggest issues we face is making sure that our small businesses get the loans they need to operate. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest holdups. We need to get capital, and we need to get investments back into small businesses so that they can employ people. Another thing is that we need to make sure that we focus on helping families get back on their feet. That's probably the most important thing, making sure they're not taken advantage of by predatory lenders and making sure that when they go to get a loan from a mortgage broker that person is doing right by them.
when you look at the budget situation here in Colorado, obviously it's deteriorating and there's a big budget gap. I was reading the story in the Denver Post business section, and I'll just read it for the audience that hasn't read it. With budgetary damage control looming as the central theme, or one of the central themes of the upcoming legislative session, the Colorado business lobby is digging in its heels, at least rhetorically, to protect its turf. State lawmakers will immediately plunge into dicey issues about how corporations and other entities will share in the financial pain to help fill a billion-dollar state budget gap. And this article talks about some tax loopholes, some potential fee hikes. Is the business community, in your mind, prepared to make the kind of shared sacrifice that we are all making and that the legislature may ask all of us to make even more of to cover some of this budget gap?
If you listen to the Republicans who seem to be defending the corporate tax subsidies that we provide, you would think that the business community isn't willing to step up. But I've talked to many folks in small business who understand that, you know, this is that tax credits and tax exemptions aren't a sacred thing. It's only the Republican lobby that really wants to make sure that they protect corporate special interests, and that's not the way we recover in this state. We don't recover on the backs of everyday hardworking Coloradans. We don't recover on the backs of our most at-risk and vulnerable populations. We need to move forward by all working together to make sure that we create a state where we can do everything that we need to do that the people of the state want us to do.
Do you reject the argument that if you get rid of some of these loopholes, that would be a quote-unquote job killer? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, the Republicans make a connection always between tax subsidies or getting rid of tax subsidies, tax loopholes and getting rid of tax loopholes with job creation and job termination. Do you buy that argument?
No, I don't. In fact, it's intellectually bankrupt, that argument, and I'll tell you why. If your answer for every problem the state faces, whether it's good or bad, is to cut taxes or to provide some new incentive to some new form of corporate welfare, then you're not really looking at the conditions on the ground. You're just working from your ideological corner, from your bitter partisan corner, and we're just not going to do that down here. We're not going to allow them to simply put blinders on and be narrow-minded. We're going to think about what's best for the state, and we're going to be forward-thinking and pragmatic. And not every tax credit, not every tax exemption deserves to stay in place for the remainder of our lives. There's some that are good, and there's some that are bad. And if they're not willing to look at that, they're not really willing to do what's best for the state at the end of the day.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, and I couldn't agree more. Again, on the line with us, House Speaker Terrence Carroll. We're talking about the opening of the Colorado legislature for the 2010 session. Let's turn to Governor Ritter now. Now, Governor Ritter has announced that he is retiring, and he made a statement, I think it was a couple days ago, where he said, look, he's going to feel a little bit more liberated, that he's not running for reelection, and this as a quote-unquote lame duck now, that he will feel more liberated maybe to go for some more structural reforms, budgetary reforms, veto things maybe he wouldn't have vetoed before, but more importantly, push things that he may have not pushed before. How does his retirement, but he's still in office, how does that situation impact the possibilities of the 2010 legislative session? And I should note that you are, I guess, because you are term limited, you are in sort of a similar political situation yourself personally.
Absolutely. I think the governor and both are in that situation and that we're both not going to be here next year, but that doesn't change how we act. Yeah, I'm still the Speaker of the House until next January, and he's still the governor until then. And we have an agenda that we're going to move forward, and that agenda doesn't depend on whether or not we're here next year. It focuses on what we need to do to set the state up for recovery, not only this year, but to continue to improve the state 5-10 years down the line. And so I don't think the governor's retirement really changes the work that we have to do. In fact, if you talk to the governor recently, he has a big smile on his face. He's a little bit more jovial nowadays because he understands that he's on his way out. But this just means that he doesn't have to be tied to or respond as quickly to some of the petty partisanship that comes from the other side of the aisle.
Why do you think his numbers were somewhat weak? I mean, some polls had them less weak than other polls, but you know, clearly he was not in the commanding position that you'd like an incumbent. If you're a Democrat, you'd like an incumbent to be in. Why do you think his numbers were weak?
I think you know, one of the issues is that this is a tough economy. And in a tough economy, incumbents, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, take the hits for the economy not being good. And when you're Scott McGinnis and you're running against Bill Ritter, only thing you have to do is just say, look how bad things are, and never produce a plan. And Scott McGinnis has yet to say what he will do. So I think that's why, you know, the governor's numbers weren't as strong as they should have been.
John Hickenlooper now has announced that he is going to run to replace Governor Ritter. You put out a statement supporting his decision to run. I guess I'll ask this question. Do you think there should be or there will be a contested primary? And what in particular do you think John Hickenlooper offers that other potential primary challengers would not?
I'll first say I don't think there'll be a primary challenge to Mayor Hickenlooper. I doubt that. But if there is one, I believe that one of the things that Mayor Hickenlooper brings to the table is his strong executive experience. And he's someone who's not afraid to make a decision. He's someone who will lead thoughtfully. And he's someone who's had to lead a government through economic crisis and actually make the tough decisions at the end of the day.
The idea that that he has not run statewide, that he has not run against a tough Republican in any kind of race, do you have any concerns about that? I mean, because a lot of people are saying that. Well, I guess some people are saying. I shouldn't say a lot. I mean, there has been some chatter that you know he's not as tested a candidate as people assume that he is. There's this assumption that he is a very formidable candidate, which I think, by the way, he might end up being a very formidable candidate. Is there any concern among Democrats that, hey, you know, this guy's never run for statewide office before. He's never really even run against a Republican. He's never taken a punch from a Republican.
I don't have that concern. Others may have that concern. And in fact, I think it's probably a red herring. I mean, you look at Scott McGinnis, he's never run a statewide race. You look at Bill Ritter, when he ran for governor, he had never won a statewide race. I mean, running a statewide race before does not mean that you're going to be a good candidate. There are plenty of people who have run statewide races who are awful candidates, but yet insist on keep running again. I mean, I think the folks who say those things are looking for a reason not to support Hickenlooper, and those are all not good reasons.
Last question for you, and again on the line, House Speaker Terrence Carroll. We're talking about the opening of the Colorado legislative session in 2010, also the state of politics here in Colorado. You made a couple of headlines, I guess it was a few days ago. You demoted Representative Ed Casso in the wake of Representative Casso making some critical comments of Governor Ritter. I mean, there was a chronological issue whether you were moving him or demoting him based on his comments. I'll let you answer whether that was causative, if you will. But I guess I wonder, when we take calls here on this show, for instance, and it's the, you know, there's a lot of progressives that call into this show, some people worry or some people say that, you know, the Democratic Party in Colorado can be sometimes kind of authoritarian, sometimes kind of autocratic, crushing dissent. In the wake of the move you made with Representative Casso, what do you say to that?
First and foremost, I will say that, you know, as Speaker of the House, I have a job that I have to do. I have to lead this caucus. I have to provide clear direction. And decisions that I make about who's the committee chair or vice chair are always about exercising that leadership and doing it in a way that's best for this caucus and doing it in a way of what's best for the people of Colorado. I don't believe that the Democratic Party is authoritarian or autocratic in any way. I mean, everyone's heard the joke that, you know, leading Democrats is like herding a bunch of cats. No, we're not asking people to sign purity oaths. What I do ask from people is that even in our disagreements is that we be respectful. And that we not personalize the issue, and that you don't unnecessarily try to drag someone into the mud.
And you felt that Representative, I mean, I guess I'll just ask it directly. When you demoted Representative Casso for after he had made these critical comments of Governor Ritter, and by the way, he made those critical comments, for folks who didn't know, he made those critical comments in a story about Ritter retiring. So there was sort of a kick the guy while he's down quality to it. Were you acting in response to those particular comments?
I'm not going to speak about the precise reasons about why I made the committee change. What I will say is that it was made because I believe that, you know, Representative Casso needed to have a change in responsibilities right now and be able to focus on the job that he needed to do as a state representative.
Fair enough. House Speaker Terrence Carroll, we really appreciate you taking the time this morning, Mr. Speaker. Good luck with the session.
All right. Thank you very much, David.
Good talking to you.
All right. Bye-bye.
7:34 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. That was House Speaker Terrence Carroll on the 2010 legislature and the state of play here in Colorado. Taxes. Let's talk about taxes for the next couple minutes here. After the break, we'll open up a discussion about taxes. You heard some tough words there. Tough words from House Speaker Terrence Carroll about the business community in the state, saying that the Democrats in the legislature are going to get serious about cutting some of this corporate tax welfare. There's a story in the Denver Post, the headline, State Business Lobbyists Defend Industry Tax Breaks That Lawmakers Are Looking to Target. Do you think this is the beginning of a big tax battle here in Colorado? And do you think it's the right time to have that tax battle? And I ask that, of course, through the prism of the economy. The Republicans are going to say, hey, the Democrats are trying to get rid of some of these tax loopholes. This is going to hurt jobs. Do you buy the Republican argument that now is not the time to have a discussion about tax reform at the state level? Or do you think now more than ever we need to get out of the me first mentality and start being willing to have that tax discussion? And I'll throw it out there as well about John Hickenlooper. Do you think the fact that he has been out there as somebody who has advocated tax increases, do you think that's a good thing? Do you think that is that a reason to support John Hickenlooper for governor as a progressive, somebody who's been willing to spend his political capital in the city, putting his face on commercials, pushing for some tax increases? Or do you think that's going to make him politically vulnerable? Dick Wadhams, the chairman of the Republican Party here in Colorado, the first thing he said about John Hickenlooper was that he's a guy who raises taxes. So where do you come down on the tax issue in our state? After the break, I'll give you a rundown of some of the specific corporate tax loopholes that Democratic legislators are looking at getting rid of in this state after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Slow going westbound C-470, really stacking up out there on the west end from 285 to Morrison Road. Stop and go in the usual spots. Southbound I-25, 120th to 84th again on southbound 2 1/4 there from Parker Road to the Tech Center. New crash, westbound I-70 after York. Delays back past Colorado Boulevard. Also working this accident on Monaco at Leedsdale. Forecast, partly cloudy, breezy, still warm, highs in the upper 50s. Right now, 42 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Toyota owners, road safety starts where rubber meets road. Through January, when you visit your local neighborhood Toyota dealer, buy 3 tires and get the 4th for just $1. For the right tires at the right price, trust your neighborhood Toyota dealer. Toyota, the right choice.
Hi, this is Dave Logan, speaking for the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Colorectal cancer is now the second leading cancer killer in the U.S. However, it can be prevented with a screening test that finds and removes small growths in the colon called polyps before they become cancerous. Men and women 50 and older should talk to their doctor about colorectal cancer screening. In health, as in football, winning starts with a good defense.
Call the American Cancer Society at 1-866-227-7914.
Attention business owners, don't rent electricity, own it. Learn now at Independent Power Systems Commercial Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar experts will show you how your business can go solar with low upfront costs and how rebates and federal tax grants can yield a 5 to 7 year ROI. Boulder County business owners can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program to go solar for zero down and one annual payment. Green your business with solar and never pay another electric bill. Learn how in Boulder, Tuesday, January 26th at the St. Julian Hotel and Tuesday, February 2nd at the Dairy Center for the Arts. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. In the neighborhood, drop by our Boulder office January 21st at 7 p.m. for the Solar Community night. Visit solaris.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. Call 303-443-0015 for details or visit solaris.com/KKZN.
For more than just your car, they can help you with your motorcycle, boat, homeowners, renters, and other insurance products. For a free rate quote, call 303-413-8664 today. That's 303-413-8664. Or visit your local GEICO office at 2875 28th Street in Boulder.
Rate based on APR of 5.53%. Approval contingent on full underwriting analysis. Check website for licensing information. Premium Capital Funding, LLC, DBA Top Dot Mortgage, 125 Jericho Turnpike, Jericho, New York.
You worked hard to get where you are. A nice house, a couple of cars in the garage. Unfortunately, you've also got an adjustable rate mortgage that could increase any time. But now you can take control, because Top Dot Mortgage, an equal housing lender, is now offering FHA 30-year fixed-rate loans at the historical low of 4.875%. You could save hundreds of dollars a month. You heard me, hundreds of dollars a month. At Top Dot, we provide a low-stress, customized approach so you can get the right mortgage to suit your individual needs. And right now, you can get your rate absolutely free. Just call 1-800-500-6244. These historically low fixed rates may only be available for a limited time. For free information, 1-800-500-6244. 1-800-500-6244.
Now that the holidays are over, it's time to stock up on all the things my family uses most.
Member Yolanda Williams on Sam's Club Savings.
Bounty, Tide, Charmin, you can't beat the prices.
Sam's Club members save up to 37% on laundry and home care.
Those savings could more than pay for my membership.
Become a Sam's Club Plus member January 13th through the 26th and get an extra $100 in e-value savings. Visit your local Sam's Club to learn more. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
It's time to buy that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday nights, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at denverboatshow.com. Life is better with a boat.
All right, here's the deal. Now, Campbell's Chunky Soup, always filling and delicious, has 23 soups with all lean meat and a full serving of vegetables. And here's the deal of deals. Get $5 in money-saving coupons at Chunky.com. Campbell's Chunky.
...741 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Tax increases. Do you think now is the time for Democrats in Colorado to be pushing for real tax reform? We just talked to House Speaker Terrence Carroll, who acknowledged that House Democrats, and well, legislative Democrats in the Colorado legislature, are going to be looking at getting rid of a bunch of corporate tax loopholes and corporate tax breaks. The Denver Post reporting a couple days ago that the business community is digging in for a big fight. Governor Ritter is pressing to scale back or eliminate more than a dozen tax breaks, setting up a collision course with the state's largest business alliances, which are refusing to recognize any possible concessions. I'm reading from the Denver Post here. Quote, the business community has made significant sacrifices already, said the Colorado Association of Commerce and Industry. Based on the current economic environment and these types of decisions by the state, many businesses have had to make difficult decisions, including laying off large numbers of employees. Meanwhile, lawmakers say businesses need to bend. Quote, they're doing what they should be doing. They're zealous advocates for their position, said State Representative Joe Rice. But you have to look to squeeze as much efficiency as possible out of government. Although some of these tax exemptions may be good, so is childhood education and a lot of other programs. And some of the tax loopholes we're talking about, for instance, I'll just read you a little bit more of this story here. Some potential bills affecting a business that could emerge, such as efforts to allow public schools or other agencies to place their deposits with credit unions, and the measure to extend workers' compensation benefits to certain prison inmates, but it's the potential for many tax break rollbacks, particularly the governor's proposal to suspend for 2 years the exemption on energy used in industrial and manufacturing production, drawing the most derision. Removing those tax breaks could generate $48 million. About a third of the more than $100 million Ritter says he can glean by limiting, suspending, or eliminating business tax benefits. Now, we've got a guy running for governor to replace Bill Ritter, Mayor John Hickenlooper, who has been sort of on both sides of the tax issue. And I give him a lot of credit for being out there when he was mayor pushing for needed tax increases to fund city services. He spent some of his political capital making the argument that taxes are worthy. He also spent the last few months threatening to lay off police officers unless they gave up previously negotiated pay raises. At the same time, he was trying to throw massive corporate tax breaks at Frontier Airlines, an airline that was already outsourcing jobs. So the question is whether you think we need to have a tax debate in this state. And we can even talk about it in the national context as well. You're hearing a tax debate now about whether we should tax millionaires to pay for any health care reform, whether we should tax so-called Cadillac health care plans. Now, the proposal to tax cattle, quote-unquote Cadillac health care plans is a violation of President Obama's campaign promise. He said that this would hit a lot of union workers. And I oppose taxing those quote-unquote Cadillac benefits, and I'm for the millionaire's tax that's in the House version of the bill. The Senate version wants to tax quote-unquote Cadillac plans. But it seems to me there's this me-first idea still coursing through our politics, right? Scott McGinnis, and the Colorado Republican Party attacking John Hickenlooper forever thinking about raising taxes. But you've also got, I heard on the way in a union leader saying, we can't ask anybody, we can't ask union workers to pay more in taxes. And again, I agree. We shouldn't, if we have a choice between passing a millionaire's tax and a tax on quote-unquote Cadillac health care plans that might hit union workers and working people, yeah, I would definitely choose the millionaire's tax. But is there this me-first nonsense still coursing through our politics? And is this finally the time to address it in our state? 303-713-7600. We've got open lines, 303-713-7600. You can also instant message us at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. By the way, up there, I forgot to mention this. I can't believe I forgot to mention this. You got to see this photo of Scott McGinnis. You have got to see this photo. And I know I say that once in a while. You got to see this photo of Scott McGinnis on our website. Scott McGinnis, who used to be blonde-haired and have a mustache, shaved off his mustache and went to the Grecian formula, and now looks like, I think he looks like Mitt Romney. I'd be curious who you think he looks like. He looks like Mitt Romney, or he looks like John, I guess John Stossel has a mustache. I'm curious who you think he looks like in this photo. Check it out at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Instant message us or give us a call. Tell us who you think Scott McGinnis is trying to look like. I think he looks like Mitt Romney or like a bad guy in a movie. I'm not sure which bad guy. We'll go to the phones. Meathead Mark in Denver. Hey, Meathead Mark.
Morning, David. How you doing?
All right, man.
First of all, the McGinnis dying his hair, stupidest thing ever. Every gray hair I have on my head, I've earned. So why not show them off?
Forget about the style of it and how ridiculous he looks. It's more like, why are you making such an abrupt change? Like, you're a candidate for statewide office, you're supposed to be sort of, I guess you've got some notoriety. All of a sudden, right before you run, you're going to go from looking like Scott McGinnis to looking like Mitt Romney. It's very odd.
It doesn't make me feel that he's a real stable individual. But
that's what I mean, right? It's not a move from a stable person.
Okay, so to the tax issue. Although there needs to probably be a debate on taxes, I think that the state should probably go to a flat or fair tax. As far as right now being the time to do it, absolutely not. If you look at the facts, during this recession, the state of Texas is the only state that has had a growing economy, and they have extremely liberal taxes on corporations. People flee to Florida. Why? When they're going to retire, because they have very low personal income taxes.
Well,
you look at states like California.
Two things. You're mixing up a couple things here. Now, I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to disagree with you. First and foremost, I'm going to agree with you. I'll put it out there like this. Colorado, in terms of income taxes, has relatively low income taxes when you put it on the scale of when you rank it with other states. So So I just want to make sure that everybody knows that already. I think the problem with state tax reform, is as opposed to federal tax reform, is that you're right. Businesses try to play one state off the other. That's absolutely true. That's a problem with doing tax reform only at the state level. However, especially when it comes, I'll give you an example of energy taxes, right? We tax our severance tax. The severance tax is a tax that's assessed on companies when they pull oil or natural resources out of the ground that we, the public, owns. We charge a severance tax, okay? Our severance tax is way lower than the severance tax in Wyoming. And Wyoming's energy business continues to boom. Maybe it's not booming at the same level it was booming a couple of years ago, but it's booming more than our energy business. So I guess my point is this. I guess you can't make blanket statements about, you know, oh, we should never raise taxes or we should never lower taxes. You got to look at each individual tax. And it seems to me that there are definitely ways to have some kind of tax reform in a way that generates revenue. That I guess what I'm saying, Meathead Mark, is that I don't think you're going to grow your way out of a massive budget deficit like we have without any kind of tax increases. You can't just say, oh, we're just going to grow the economy, rising tide lifts all boats, and that's going to grow our way out of the economy. We're going to need to raise some kind of taxes with such a huge deficit at the state level.
Okay, and I'd agree with you, for instance. You look at tax by tax, but then, for instance, the severance tax, you make that comparable with Wyoming. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at states like California and, for instance, New York, where they're trying to tax people into the ground, people are fleeing those states.
Well,
businesses are fleeing those states to, for instance, Texas, Florida.
Mark, I got to tell you something. They looked at this, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but stick around. Tune in. I'm going to get another call, but after the next break, you've made the allegation that higher taxes make people and businesses flee. I wrote a column about this that in the break I'm going to pull up, and I'm going to read you some stats, okay? And just so if you want to hang on the line, hang on the line. Or if you want to go, you can go and just keep listening in. After the break, I'm going to read you a couple of stats. There's been a couple studies about whether raising taxes in states actually pushes people out of those states. I wrote a column on this. The stats are very, very telling and very, very interesting. Stick around for that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic pretty busy. Pretty much most of the major highways around Denver, especially on 25 northbound between 225 and Evans. Again, closer to downtown after Washington Street. Stop and go, leaving Northland and Thornton on the southbound side, 120th down to 84th. Also heavy from about 48th Avenue past 23rd. If you're on westbound I-70, they just cleared that accident around York Street, so things are moving a little bit better there now. Also just cleared up that crash, or looks like it's almost out of the way, Monaco and Leedsdale. The forecast today, partly sunny, light winds, and a high around 58 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with possible flurries, but little accumulation, if any, in the city. Highs will be in the low 40s tomorrow, currently 43 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Today at Safeway, you'll find thousands of new, everyday low prices on the things you use every day. Now get everything on your list, all at the price you need. That's their promise. That's ingredients for life. Safeway.
Where can you find the best Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine? The Yak and Yeti Restaurant and Brew Pub. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations, in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. TheYakAndYeti.com.
To buy that boat, bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday nights, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at denverboatshow.com. Life is better with a boat.
Where can you find the best Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine? The Yak and Yeti Restaurant and Brew Pub. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations, in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. TheYakAndYeti.com.
This is Mario for the law firms of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760. Turner and Henderson are personal injury trial lawyers who have supported Progressive Talk since the beginning. They've devoted their entire legal careers to handling personal injury claims. They represent real people, not big insurance companies or corporations, and they've been successful at all kinds of personal injury claims. Turner and Henderson, call for free consultation at 303-300-1600.
I'm from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo, I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you. And everyone else.
Everyone!
Get your free quote. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to Progressive.com today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Leasing to the public a limited number of classic gold coins, all uncirculated and more than 100 years old. For free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-300-5798. During the Great Depression, people kept precious metals and gold coins tucked away. No one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. Nowadays, most of us have never seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a secret hoard of gleaming U.S. gold coins was discovered, all uncirculated and minted between 1866 and 1933. The New York Mint will be releasing these coins to the public on a first-come, first-served basis. Don't be without gold. While you still can, call for free historical information and the free collector's DVD. 1-800-300-5798. Again, 1-800-300-5798.
Please stay tuned for a free weight loss offer following this story.
I gained my weight after I had my first child, and within a year, I gained like 150 pounds. For 20 years, I tried everything, you know, from different diets, exercising. One time I seen a friend, and when I seen her, she was slim. So I said, how did you do that? You know, how did you get so skinny so fast? And she was like, right-size smoothies. So that's when I decided to try right-size smoothies. And when I first started, the first 30 days, I lost 30 pounds. And by the time I hit a year, I lost 143 pounds. When I look in the mirror, I see a beautiful person now. I love the Right Size Smoothies. It's the best thing that happened to me.
If you would like to try Right Size Smoothies for free, call now for a free two-week supply. If you don't lose the weight, you'll never pay for the smoothies. Call 1-800-900-3967. 1-800-900-3967. That's 1-800-900-3967.
756 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're talking about taxes, the legislature looking at maybe getting rid of some tax loopholes and some tax breaks. Is that a good idea or a bad idea right now? We heard from House Speaker Terrence Carroll on this. John Hickenlooper, who's running for governor, has been a guy who's been out there who has at times pushed tax increases. And Meathead Mark, he's still on the line with us. He made the allegation that that raising taxes can often mean people flee to move to other states. I just want to read some stats about this, because this came up, and Meathead Mark, you cited New York, and David Patterson, the governor of New York, made the same case about 6 months ago, and what came out when he made that case, and I'm reading from a column that I wrote, sorry to be a little bit self-referential, but the stats speak for themselves. When New Jersey recently raised taxes on the wealthy, Princeton University researchers found that most of those who later left the state moved to places with higher taxes, meaning there's no causative link between levies on the rich and residential flight. Likewise, when New York temporarily raised high-income taxes after 9/11, the state added 127,000 jobs, meaning no link exists between higher taxes on the rich and job loss. Economist Joe Stiglitz said, quote, reductions in government spending on goods and services will be more damaging to the economy in the short run than tax increases specifically focused on higher-income families. What do you say to that?
Okay, well, although your stats may be true, I have friends that have left California, moved their businesses to other states specifically because of taxes. And my other rebuttal to that would be, if you look at, Governor Ritter just brought a company that does windmills to the state of Colorado. And one of the rationales from that company for moving to the state of Colorado was our tax structure.
Well, look, I'm not going to deny that some taxes Businesses try to play one another off each other to lower some business taxes. I'm just saying it's more nuanced than, and you agree, that higher taxes are all bad and lower taxes are all good. Hey, Mark, thanks for the call. All right, stick around. More after the national news.
AM 760 and CBS News bring you audio on demand on AM760.net.
60 Minutes. CBS News. Face the nation.
Stay informed with AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk, and AM760.net.
Hey, I'm William Sumner, host of the Inevitable Radio Show on Saturday morning. It's that time of year again. Are you planning for an extraordinary 2010? Have you thought of taking the next step into a mastermind group? You'll learn new amazing ways to succeed, unlike anything you've ever done. I promise, masterminds produce superb accountability in a fun, powerful, and real environment. Team up with like-minded men and women who are dedicated to beginning their year, maximizing their success in these tough times. Learn the three greatest myths that current success psychology has wrong. And make no mistake, believing in these myths is hurting you. Discover the latest in neurosciences. Not only learn what the top 10% of successful people know, act on it and act now. Call me now, 303-904-0077, 303-904-0077, or sign up at my website, williamsumner.net. That's williamsumner.net.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. Help is on the way, but it can't possibly reach Haiti soon enough for stunned survivors of a devastating magnitude 7 earthquake.
Haiti needs a hospital ship off the coast of the island. Secondly, we need first-time responders.
Haitian Ambassador Raymond Joseph in Washington, where President Obama has been getting reports on the extent of damage and is expected to make a statement shortly pledging American assistance. Relief agencies can't begin to guess how many people have been killed. Bodies have been left in the streets. Tens of thousands have lost their homes. Radio reporter Karel Pedre says Port-au-Prince was leveled.
I've seen a lot of people on the streets crying for help. I know there's a lot of people under the building collapse, people bleeding.
Frank Thorpe says his wife Jillian, a relief worker from Connecticut, spent 10 hours trapped in a collapsed building.
We had to pull bricks and bricks and bricks and wood and doors and metal away before we were able to get her and her co-worker out as well.
I'm Peter King from Florida.
We just have to go. There's no question about it. We'll do whatever it takes to get there.
To the Midwest.
I want to be there. I just feel so helpless stuck here in Michigan.
Across the country, volunteers are scrambling to get to Haiti. Joy Portella is with Mercy Corps.
That team will work to assess what's most pressing. Do people need food? Do they need water? Do they need shelter? Is it medicine? And try to figure out how we can help fill those needs.
Peter King, CBS News.
To Capitol Hill now, where a bipartisan commission is hearing testimony on the near collapse of the financial system. Live to CBS's Bob Fuss. What's the latest, Bob?
Well, Commission Chairman Phil Angelides said they will follow the evidence wherever it leads.
To conduct a full and fair inquiry into what brought America's financial system to its knees.
The CEO of Goldman Sachs, Lloyd Blankfein, testified that during the boom days, they never saw they were creating a mortgage bubble that would burst.
We lent money out too cheaply and in certain loans without the traditional safeguards.
Looking back, he and other top Wall Street and banking executives say they now can see all the things they did wrong. Live on Capitol Hill, Bob Fuss, CBS News.
The man or woman in the corner office was in less of a hurry to leave last year. Outplacement specialist John Challenger says the number of CEOs who quit fell to around 1,200.
The 2009 year-end total was 17% lower than we saw last year when a record 1,482 CEOs left their companies.
Healthcare companies had the highest turnover rate for the fifth year in a row. Overseas, a UN report says war-related violence last year killed 2,400 Afghan civilians. That's the highest number since the fighting began in the fall of 2001. Two more American service members have been killed, the 11th and 12th, so far this year. In early Wall Street trading, the Dow Industrials are up 22 points. This is CBS News.
If you... or... then you need Tiger Balm. You're out working hard every day. Your muscles need a break. Tiger Balm works. So if it's... or... then there's only one thing to say.
Get me some Tiger Balm.
Tiger Balm and Tiger Balm patches. It works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
I'm heading out to pick up some office supplies.
Oh, I'd go to Staples.
Yeah, how are their prices on paper?
Low.
How about printers?
Low.
Laptops?
Low.
Binder clips?
Low.
Legal pads?
Low.
Pens?
Low.
Ballpoint pens?
Low, low. Look, Staples has low prices every day on over 7,000 items.
Felt tip pens?
I give up.
Save the easy way every day at Staples. And right now, save even more with buy one, get one free after easy rebate on a case of Hammermill Coffee Plus paper. Staples. That was easy. In-store only offers 1-16-10. Only 2 rebates per household. See store for details.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. State lawmakers are focusing on the 2010 legislative session. It begins today.
It's going to be a challenging year, a challenging set of circumstances.
Senate Minority Leader Josh Penry says closing a $1 billion budget gap will be the top priority.
We're already working on reforming the public pension system, which is $30 billion in red ink. I think we ought to come together and reform the way we do ballot initiatives, make it more difficult to put things in the Constitution. We need to create a rainy day fund.
In the meantime, Governor Bill Ritter gives his final State of the State address tomorrow. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper says he doesn't know yet who his running mate will be when he runs for governor of Colorado. The mayor officially announced his plan to run for the office being vacated by incumbent Bill Ritter, who says he will not run for re-election. In sports, the CU Buffs snapped a 9-game losing streak against ranked opponents as they beat number 22 Baylor 78-71 in Boulder last night. The CU men are now 9 at home for the first time since the 82-83 season. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where the highways are slowing down in those usual spots, like southbound I-25 coming in from Thornton and Northland. Checking on the speedometers, you're going to dip down into the teens right around 104th, but it's heavy from 120th. Southbounders on 225, you're also feeling delays from Parker Road all the way towards I-25. As you drive through that stretch, it's going to cost you about 10 or 15 minutes worth of drive time. Crews have cleaned up a crash that occurred westbound I-70 at York, but it's still a little bit sluggish over that elevated stretch. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be another mild one today with mostly sunny skies. High temperature of about 57, 58 degrees. Currently it's 35. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
If you want the best price when you sell your gold, it's easy. Just take it to Fast Cash. At Fast Cash, you'll get 40% more for your gold in cash and on the spot. So don't get ripped off. Get a quote before you sell and get what your gold's really worth. Visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
The one thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
Always, you're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, we've been talking about the economy. The economy's on the minds of everyone, really. So much news out there, from the local to the national to the international. I don't know about you. I just have been looking at some of the images from Haiti. That country just cannot get a break. It really just cannot get a break. One of the poorest countries in the world. Hit with this crazy earthquake, this unexpected earthquake. It's just really, it's the kind of thing you look out at the world and you wonder, what the hell is going on? And you look out at the economy as well and you wonder what the hell is going on. And joining us now to try to explain some of, at least, what the hell is going on is Alan Tonelson from the U.S. Business and Industry Council. The U.S. Business and Industry Council is an interesting group. They work with and represent domestic businesses, large and small, domestic, oftentimes manufacturers. And Alan's got a piece in the newest edition of Harper's called Up from Globalism, and it argues effectively why what Congress and the President are doing on job creation is not necessarily the way to real job creation. Alan, thanks for taking the time this morning. Lay out your argument for us.
Sure, David. Essentially, this entire economy and the global economy as well fell into crisis because the United States was consuming too much, not producing enough, and therefore borrowing too much to to maintain the lifestyles to which most Americans had become accustomed. That situation was obviously unsustainable for anybody who knew a lick about economics. Of course, the risks were continually wished away by the combination of the Wall Street, Washington, economic and business access. But anybody with any common sense would have known that we were headed for major trouble. And in fact, that's exactly what happened, starting with the meltdown of the subprime housing market in the summer of 2007. So here we are. We're still spending much more than we earn. We still urgently need to start to ramp up our production and therefore our income and our earnings in order to start paying down this enormous and very dangerous load of debt that we've piled up. How do you do this? Well, you need to manufacture, essentially. You need to manufacture much more. And the reason is manufacturing completely dominates that sector of the American economy that creates real wealth, as opposed to a leveraging wealth, as opposed to hopefully making the use of wealth more efficient, although clearly the American financial sector flunked that test spectacularly during the last decade. But we need to manufacture more. Manufacturing has to become a much bigger share of the gross domestic product. And tragically, since this recession officially began at the end of 2007, we've been moving as a nation in exactly the opposite direction. Manufacturing output has fallen about four times faster than overall economic output.
Let me stop you there, and just so that we're on talking about the same terms.
Right.
When you say that manufacturing is the only way, or at least the best way, to create real wealth, mm-hmm. versus other things that create the illusion or the perception or the wealth that's not real. What does that actually mean? I mean, give us some examples of what real wealth is and what fake wealth is.
This is the key question. Real wealth for a species, and I need to get pretty conceptual here, but please bear with me. For a species that remains physical, we are physical beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
We overwhelmingly work with and consume and want to buy stuff that we can pick up and hold and manipulate. That means that the way that you create value in wealth is you either grow stuff or you extract it from the ground in some way and you turn it into something that somebody wants to buy. That's how you create real wealth. Now, you need service industries of various types to provide financing for it, to grease the skids, as a lot of folks will say, to make the process of wealth creation more efficient. At least that's the idea. But the service sectors, which are, again, very, very important, do not create the wealth to begin with. They help us use the wealth we have created more effectively. And the top priority and challenge that this economy faces is creating enough new wealth to finance our affluence and our prosperity in a responsible way through our income and our earnings, not through taking on more and more debt.
So how is the Obama administration and the Democrats in Congress, and I only use them as examples because they're the ones who are making decisions now.
Exactly.
What are they doing wrong if through the prism of your analysis?
If I could focus on one major mistake that they've made, it's the complete mishandling of the U.S. economic relationship with China. And I point to that because all of the incredibly dangerous distortions that have appeared in the world economy over the last 10 years ultimately come back to the dangerous distortions that have emerged in the U.S.-China economic relationship. They are the two most important economic powers in the world right now. And the trade flows and the investment flows are completely lopsided, totally unsustainable, and once again lie at the heart of this global financial crisis. And astonishingly, even though China is really nothing less than a rogue economic power, breaks every rule you can imagine and takes an unusually narrow view of its own self-interest that is incredibly destructive to the global economic interest. Despite this, the Obama administration and the leadership in Congress under Democrats refuses to confront China and use the very considerable leverage that the United States still retains to change China's behavior and create more opportunities for U.S. companies and U.S. workers who produce things, who manufacture things.
Again, on the line with us, Alan Tonelson. He's got a new article in Harper's Magazine about what the Obama administration, what the Congress, what the government is doing wrong in its job creation efforts right now. He is a research fellow at the U.S. Business and Industry Council, a group that represents the interests of domestic manufacturers. Give us some concrete examples of what the Obama administration or the Congress could be doing. I mean, are we talking about stronger, let's say, Buy American laws? Are we talking about something different? What could the Congress, if you were president, what would you say that the Congress needed to do? What would the Alan Tonelson administration do?
Well, first of all, we absolutely need to greatly strengthen and expand the current Buy American requirements that govern federal procurement. There's no doubt that there's inadequate demand right now for U.S.-made products, both globally and at home. As John Maynard Keynes pointed out back in the 1920s and 1930s, this does look like the kind of circumstances we have right now really do look like the kind that require the federal government to step in and to increase demand and therefore increase production. The federal government represents about 20% of our entire economy. It is a tremendously important consumer of goods and services, but in order to promote growth in the United States and greater output in the United States, it's essential that what the federal government buys be made in the United States.
Right, because if the stimulus bill, if you spend federal money on a windmill project, let's say, and the windmills are made in China or
as we were about to do.
Right, as we were about to do, then the bang for the job buck, the
right.
creation of jobs, just on in the short term, that you're not getting a good bang for the buck. And secondly, you're not spurring with that money, you're not spurring the kind of manufacturing industry here in the country. Okay, so there's the Buy American piece. What else can be done?
Exactly. And China's longtime policy of artificially holding down the value of its currency needs to be confronted and changed and offset.
Now this is a complex issue, and I think a lot of people's eyes glass over when they hear about the monetary policy and the value of China's currency. My understanding of it is this, and you tell me where I'm right and where I'm wrong, because I'm just going to put it in layman's terms.
Please.
Here, that when China's currency is artificially lower as valued against the dollar, it gives an incentive, it provides an incentive for manufacturers to go make things over there because money is effectively cheaper over there, and then they can export their products to the United States where they can sell it at American prices, and that sort of the gap between what it costs to make it for versus what it costs, what price they sold it at, the gap is inflated by the artificially big gap between the value of the two currencies, and that makes bigger profits for manufacturers. Now, tell me if I have that right. And then also, I'm really curious, what is the mechanics of China actually keeping its currency low? I mean, how does it actually do that?
Well, you've certainly hit the nail on the head by pointing out that China's currency manipulation gives any goods made in China, whether they're made by Chinese-owned companies or U.S. or French or Japanese-owned companies, a tremendous and artificial, wholly unjustified price advantage over goods from anywhere else in every market in the world. So you hit that right on the head.
Okay, so and the issue is then you're saying that the key part that I've never quite understood the mechanics of is this artificial part. How does China actually accomplish keeping its currency, quote-unquote, artificially low?
The value of any country's currency, like the value of anything else, is a function of global supply and global demand of that product. So China's currency should be much more highly valued because China is doing so well economically that investors from all over the world are, in fact, hankering to buy China's currency. It's in great financial shape. It's running tremendous surpluses as opposed to this country's enormous
debt. So investors want to buy their money as an investment, and
that's right.
And then what, China's not allowing them to do that?
Exactly. Foreigners cannot invest, cannot buy yuan. They just can't do it. It's against the law.
And so,
and this is unique among major economic and trading powers.
So if I'm a guy who wants to invest in the value of China's currency, I can't just go buy a bunch of its currency. I'm not allowed. The government
there
is actually controlling effectively the supply and who can buy that supply of their currency in order to keep it low, in order to effectively to attract these engines of economic growth.
And then conversely, what the Chinese do is they buy up U.S. Treasury bills. They buy U.S. debt, including debt issued by the U.S. government. And so, since China's willing to buy it, the U.S. government doesn't have to offer, even despite our enormous debts, the U.S. government doesn't have to offer that same pool of global investors and investors back home, too, very high interest rates to compensate them for the risk that they would seem to be taking.
And this is why we're hearing so much, not enough, but certainly why China's the discussion of China's currency, which seems like so abstract, is so important right here on the ground in people's local communities. When you look at job loss across the state, Alan Tonelson, his article in Harper's is called "Up from Globalism." It's linked on our website, am760.net. Alan, thank you so much for writing this piece and for taking the time this morning.
My pleasure, David. Thanks for having me on. I hope we can do it again.
Absolutely. Good talking to you. 8:20 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. Yesterday, you heard State Senator Chris Romer say that some advocates for reformed marijuana laws were behaving childishly. And he singled out a marijuana advocate and lawyer, Rob Corey. Well, we're going to have Rob Corey on after the break to see what he says about those charges. He was in the Denver Post after the Denver City Council moved to create some new rules and regulations around medical marijuana. Rob Corey was saying that some of the provisions were unacceptable. We'll get his take after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. The traffic stop and go in a lot of spots. Got a new crash eastbound I-70 at Washington. Delays there back past Pecos. On southbound I-25, also two stretches of some pretty brutal traffic. 120th to 84th, again from I-70 past Spear. Also speeds in the teens and 20s, southbound 225 Parker Road down to the Tech Center merge. If you're on C-470, also going to run into some traffic jams. Westbounders, 285 to Morrison Road. Eastbounders, loosen up past University. Also got a new crash northbound Sheridan at 6th Avenue. This morning has been light on accidents. That's a good thing. Your forecast, partly cloudy, breezy, and warm. Highs in the upper 50s. Right now, we're at 40 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Pearl. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. First up at auction, we have here a very rare Ming vase from the Ming Dynasty. We will start the bidding at free. Do I hear free?
Free? I'll take it.
Sold to the young lady in the front row for $0.
Wait.
Free is better. Do your simple federal return for free at TurboTax.com. It's free to prepare, free to print, and free to e-file. No wonder TurboTax is the most trusted brand of tax software. Visit TurboTax.com today. Choose easy. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
And women 50 and older should talk to the doctor about colorectal cancer screening. In health, as in football, winning starts with a good defense.
Call the American Cancer Society at 1-866-227-7914.
Have you heard about geothermal, the renewable energy that works even when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow?
Not only is geothermal reliable, it can operate at 300 to 600% efficiency. Geothermal is the smartest and greenest way to heat and cool your home. That's why Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling teamed up to offer Denver the peace of mind that your geothermal project is done by some of the top professionals in the field. Climate Master Heat Pumps, one of the top heat pumps in the world, powers the geothermal system. Your geothermal project could also qualify for a 30% tax credit. The goal is to offer a personalized solution to your heating and air conditioning needs to help you maximize your efficiency and reduce your carbon footprint. Call Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling today. 303-424-1622. 303-424-1622. Or online at majorheating.com. Start living greener today.
What's his name? Schultz.
Ed Schultz.
Ed Schultz.
Ed's just straightforward and honest.
Well, thank you. The truth is interesting, isn't it? The president, I think, is doing the right thing by supporting Harry Reid. We got too much to do. Right now, this country and this administration has got too many priorities with the mess of garbage that was left us from the last 8 years.
The Ed Schultz Show.
Ed appeals to, like, Joe America.
Mornings 10 to 1 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
George Tote Weed.
Absolutely, George Tote Weed. Are you kidding me, man? He even feels that stuff, yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about. Feels.
He grew that Mount Vernon, man.
Mount Vernon, man. He grew it all over the country, man. He had people growing it all over the country, you know? The whole country back then was getting hot. Let me tell you, man, because he knew. He was on to something, man. He knew that it would be a good cash crop for the southern states, man. And so he grew fields of it, man. But you know what? Behind every good man, there's a woman. And that woman was Martha Washington, man. And every day George would come home, she'd have a big fat bowl waiting for him, man, when he'd come in the door, man. She was a hip lady, man.
That's one of my favorite quotes from Dazed and Confused, and we use it to introduce a friend of the show, medical marijuana advocate and lawyer Rob Corey, who yesterday came up in our discussion. We had a discussion with State Senator Chris Romer about the medical marijuana policies in the state and the city. The Denver City Council issuing or passing a bill that would enact some new rules and regulations about medical marijuana. And before we get to Rob, I just want to play you what State Senator Romer specifically said.
And let me be fair to them. They're a new industry that's trying to get their act together. It's very fractured. And you don't win a capital debate with a fractured community where you have people focusing on the negatives. That Denver ordinance was a great ordinance. And for Rob Corey to pick on the one thing he didn't like is the kind of childish behavior that's costing this industry the credibility it should have.
Okay, so Rob Corey, you just heard that from State Senator Chris Romer. Give us your take before we get to the specific allegation from State Senator Romer. Give us your take in general about what the Denver City Council did. Is it good or bad from a perspective of people who want to see our medical marijuana laws and our drug laws in general reformed?
Well, it's good and bad. There are some aspects of that ordinance that are positive, and the progress on the ordinance was good. It's a lot better than some of the other municipalities in Colorado. But it's bad because it has an arbitrary 1,000-foot perimeter around any medical marijuana existing dispensary, any school, and any daycare center that makes no sense.
And that is the is that the major flaw you see in the Denver ordinance?
The two major flaws are the irrational 1,000-foot perimeter, as well as the arbitrary ban on people convicted of felonies from getting into this business. Both of those are wrong. Both of those are going to add to the cost of patients and their medicine. It's going to make it less available to them. It's going to make it much less accessible.
Now, I tend to agree with you specifically on the issue of this 1,000-foot perimeter, this whole idea that a dispensary can't be near any other, well, certain kinds of other institutions. I think that's bizarre. Unless you're going to do the same thing for, Walgreens or pharmacies, it just doesn't make any sense to me. If you're not worried about your kid walking into Walgreens and buying much more powerful drugs that are available in Walgreens, then you shouldn't be worried about a dispensary. And if you are worried about a dispensary, in terms of its geographic location and proximity to children, then the issue is security measures. So let me ask you this. If just hypothetically, if the compromise was, all right, look, Rob, you represent some of these dispensaries. If the compromise is, look, we're going to take away the geographic limitations from where you have to be, but there are certain very serious security measures that need to be taken that make dispensaries look and or feel like they have the same sort of over-the-counter versus behind-the-counter situation as a regular pharmacy. Would that be something that you would agree could be necessary?
I think that would be a reasonable compromise. That's something we would take a look at, certainly. You know, we compromise every day in this business. I'm a criminal defense lawyer. I take people through the criminal defense system. 95% of cases plead out. So compromise is my business. You know, when Senator Romer comes forth, though, and says we should sacrifice principle in the interest of compromise, compromise as an end itself, not a means, you know, that makes no sense. I mean, that's actually a career politician talking. That's not somebody who has a guiding set of principles and knowledge about this field. You know,
on balance, if you were, and as you say, you are an advocate, you are somebody who advocates jealously for your cause, and by the way, as you should, you are not a career politician. If you were on the Denver City Council and you were faced with an up or down vote, let's say on this ordinance, with the good things and the bad things, how would you have voted?
I would have voted no, because the 1,000-foot perimeter is very significant. It's going to shut down many, many existing businesses, and it's going to also be unconstitutional. It doesn't comply with the Colorado Constitution, and whether you think it's a good idea or not, if you're on the Denver City Council, you take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the state of Colorado, and they did not do that in enacting this arbitrary 1,000-foot perimeter, because this is a fundamental constitutional right. Access to medical marijuana for people suffering from debilitating medical conditions. That's something the Constitution confers on them. It's a fundamental right. So for government to burden a fundamental right, not to get too legalistic here, is they've got to have a compelling reason to do so, and they don't have that compelling reason. There is no problem solved by this 1,000-foot perimeter, and it is significant.
What do you think it's motivated by? I mean, let's try to. I always like to ask people on opposite sides of the issue. What do you think their opponents are motivated by? Let's take states. Well, look, we know what Republican Attorney General John Southers is motivated by. He is trying to, I think, crush the entire medical marijuana industry, crush the constitutional right that people have in this state. But let's take somebody like State Senator Romer. And again, on the line with us, Rob Corey. He's a lawyer and an advocate for some of the medical marijuana dispensaries. State Senator Romer, who is pushing a bill to regulate the medical marijuana industry. He's a Democrat. He's in the legislature. And he had said that Rob Corey and some of the people he works with are acting childish by saying that, for instance, the Denver City Council's ordinance is not a good step forward for medical marijuana. But I wonder, let's take the piece of the ordinance that you think is bad, this part about how a dispensary can't be within a certain geographic range of other institutions like a school, like a daycare center. What do you think is motivating those who are pushing that idea? Do you think it has any validity at all?
That's a great question, you know, and I do agree with your sort of analysis that there are two types of opponents to this. I mean, there's the easy, outright, you know, people who, like Southers, destroy medical marijuana. They voted against it. They campaigned against it. They would love to write it out of the Constitution. So that's easy to figure out. And then there's the second group of opponents of medical marijuana that are more subtle and less easy to pigeonhole. And those are the folks who maybe have some well-meaning concerns about, quote-unquote, the children, and you hear that a lot. And, you know, there are the folks, just the general NIMBYist attitude. You hear this a lot in these city council meetings. Well, I voted for it, but I'm a mother, and I don't want it in my neighborhood. So they support medical marijuana in principle. They certainly empathize with suffering people who are in agony and pain from their medical conditions and get relief. They just don't want to see it. They don't want it in their neighborhood. You know, and that's a complicated thing. When prohibition ended, I'm sure there were some growing pains. When the clouds of prohibition clear up, government gets out of the way, and this is America. If there's a demand for something and a business crops up to meet that demand with a supply, what is wrong with that?
I mean, just to play devil's advocate here, and again, I want our audience to know where at least I stand. I agree with all of the arguments you're making. I disagree with State Senator Romer in the sense that I think it's good for there to be some opponents pushing the flank of this issue, pushing this issue on principle, willing to have this fight in a principled way, so that pushes the political debate where it needs to go on the issue of our crazy and insane drug laws. Play devil's advocate here. What about those who say, well, look, Rob, I agree with your argument, and Sirota, I agree with your argument that somebody who's willing to have a wall near their house or near their school, or willing to have a bar and restaurant within 1,000 feet of their school or daycare center, should be fine with having a dispensary near their bar, near their daycare center or their school. But what about the idea they say, okay, I agree with you, but maybe society needs some time to get used to the legitimacy of the dispensaries. Maybe we'll come back and revisit this in 3, 4, 5 years when people realize, hey, medical marijuana dispensaries are not really a big deal. In fact, they're just another form of legitimate business.
I agree, and I think if people were to think about it and really dig deeper and peel away the layers of why they want this 1,000-foot perimeter, they will come to a logical conclusion. I do think the majority of people are logical. Let's face it, 1,000-foot distance is not going to protect a single child. First of all, there's no documented case of a child wandering into a dispensary ever.
Right, of course.
So that doesn't happen. Liquor stores, I've got a liquor store in my neighborhood in Denver, right across the street from an elementary school. To my knowledge, there isn't a single documented case of an elementary school child wandering into that liquor store and purchasing liquor. So that's an imaginary concern. But secondly, even if it were a concern that children somehow get into these dispensaries and access medicine, 1,000 feet is not going to protect anybody. Children are quite mobile. They can move around. They can walk. They can ride their bikes. Some of them can even drive. So they can find a dispensary, whether it's 1,000 feet from a school or not. So all it is an arbitrary feel-good number. It helps nobody, but it harms people.
But, you know, and I got to tell you something. What I have concluded from this is, when I've really thought about it, is that it's not, I don't really even think the people who are into these arbitrary, as you say, these arbitrary geographic distances, I don't even think they really believe kids will go to a dispensary. Here's what I think. I think that even if they conceptually support the idea of medical marijuana, they don't really want kids exposed to the concept of marijuana. That I don't think they're really thinking that a kid is going to walk into a dispensary, sort of get, you know, marijuana under the table. I think it's that they don't, that people are more conceptually uncomfortable with the idea of quote unquote impressionable kids seeing that marijuana is a legitimate substance. What do you think about that?
With your analysis, and that goes to the point we made earlier about that this is a complex social prejudice that is gradually in time. I mean, let's think marijuana is overcoming 70 years plus of government prohibition, reefer madness type of government hysterical propaganda. We're still experiencing that to this day. I mean, government still puts forth ridiculous arguments like this is about Mexican drug cartels, which harkens back to the 1930s arguments against it. But, you know, so marijuana is overcoming that. The science is coming on strong. I mean, there are thousands of studies that show that marijuana has scientific and medical benefits to people. But, you know, we are overcoming a complex prejudice. It's going to take some time. This is a controversial medicine. One of the things I posed to Senator Romer that was interesting, we debated on KBDI, Now, I've been trying to come up with an analogy. What's another controversial medical procedure in our society? And with some help from former Senator Bob Hagedorn, who's working with us, he suggested abortion. That's a controversial procedure, isn't it? It also has some constitutional implications one way or the other. So I said, Senator Romer, well, let's design a bill. Let's take your bill and do a find and replace on my computer, and we'll take out medical marijuana, and we'll just find and replace abortion providers, Senator. You know, let's put the identical regulations on an industry that you say you support. And I said, I assume you'll vote against that bill, right? And he, of course, said, yes, I would. And then the host, John Caldera, asked him why. And Romer said, well, I'll vote against that because I'm pro-abortion. So our circuits were overloading at that point. If he says he's pro-medical marijuana and submits this onerous regulatory regime that would crush this industry, encourages us to support it, calls us childish when we don't genuflect and fall into line under him. So there's that. But then on the other side, he would not support a find and replace identical regulatory regime against abortion providers.
Right. I mean, they're not, you're right. They're not perfectly analogous, but the thought experiment exposes exactly what I think, as you said, we're up against. That this is not just a discussion about the substance. This is a discussion about social attitudes, which whenever social attitudes are confronted with a challenge, it is a long and painful and uncomfortable process. And I think that's exactly what we see here. And I just want to say from on behalf of, I only speak for myself, but on behalf of me, I would say keep up the good work, even if they continue to call you childish. It is the most important kind of work that needs to be done on the issue of drug policy reform. Rob Corey, he's a lawyer and an advocate for the medical marijuana dispensaries. You can read about him. He comes up almost all the time, almost every day, or at least every week, on Westward's website, westward.com. Rob, keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Take care. All right, no problem. 8:40 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, I'm going to play you one of the funniest things that I have seen in, like, the last, I don't know, it's got to be the last month, if not 6 months, from The Onion about the Republican Party. It's posted on our website. It's so funny. At least I found it so funny. We're going to play it for you. You can see it on our website right now, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. I mean, I was laughing my ass off when I saw this. It's about the Republican Party and how bankrupt they are. It's really, really funny.
Hilarious.
It's so funny.
Maybe
I was
the funniest thing I've seen in 2010.
There you go, which is not much. Was that a couple days?
No, well, you know, we're 13 days into January, and I swear
I sent it to Turk, and I was
so
like,
this year.
I sent it to Turk. I was like, we got to get this on our website.
I'm forwarding it to everybody I know.
It's so funny. It deals with Ronald Reagan and the Republican Party. You're not going to want to miss it. Also on our website, check out the new picture of Scott McGinnis.
McMakeover.
You got to see the before and after picture. He shaved his mustache and gone Grecian formula. And we're just asking you, who do you think he looks like now? I think he looks like Mitt Romney. Instant message us, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. You can look at that Onion video. You can look at the new picture of Scott McGinnis. Instant message us or call us up and tell us who you think McGinnis now looks like. We got one person emailing in saying he looks like Steve Carell from the 40-year-old virgin. You got to see the before and after photo. It's crazy.
I remember when my dad went, like, you know, his mustache started to turn a little bit gray. It was like, you know, becoming gray. So we went and colored it, and he didn't tell any of us. And he thought, like, his
he just thought he was mom.
Yeah. And like, first I was like, what'd you do to your mustache? And he, like, looks to my stepmom like, you said that they wouldn't notice.
Yeah, well,
I mean, yeah, you know, it's noticeable things, when you do things like that.
Especially when it's abrupt. And we had a caller
say, blonde to black hair.
From blonde to black. You got to see this, folks. I'm telling you. AM760.net. Go over to the David Sirota page. I got to tell you something. One caller said, you know, it's one thing to do it sort of if you're a non-public person, a regular citizen. For a politician to do it in the middle of a campaign, it kind of suggests that Scott McGinnis is, there's kind of like an instability issue here. I mean, who does that in the middle of a top-tier gubernatorial campaign? Well, apparently, who does it? Scott McGinnis. Check out the photo. Instant messages. Who do you think Scott McGinnis looks like? We'll get to it after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic is pretty brutal around town. Seeing things loosen up in a couple different areas, but I do expect some increased traffic on 225 this morning. Dam Road still closed. Southbound side stacked from Parker Road all the way down to 25. crash on I-70 around Washington. It's on the eastbound side. Delays kind of small but real slow going beginning at Pecos. Also stop and go southbound I-25 up in Northland and Thornton. If you're on the turnpike, westbounders hitting jams in Westminster at Sheridan again after Flatiron Circle. And also the I-70 corridor there in the elevated portion, pretty stacked up in both directions. Your forecast? Partly sunny, light winds, and a high of 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Possible flurries. Little accumulation, though, if any, in the city. Highs will be in the low 40s. Currently, 42 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Drive home a new O10 Ford Escape today from Freeway Ford for just $15.9. That's a new Ford Escape ready to roll after rebates for just $15.9. Get yours now only at Freeway Ford at I-25 in Evans, Longmont Ford at 3rd and Alpine, or at cheaperfords.com.
Hi, this is Dave Logan speaking for the Colorado Department of Public Health Environment. Colorectal cancer is now the second leading cancer killer in the U.S. However, it can be prevented with a screening test that finds and removes small growths in the colon called polyps before they become cancerous. Men and women 50 and older should talk to their doctor about colorectal cancer screening. In health, as in football, winning starts with a good defense.
Call the American Cancer Society at 1-866-227-7914.
There is never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call. Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or drainsolvers.com. Access fees may apply.
Up to twice as fast.
I've definitely seen a difference in the amount of hair I lose every time I shampoo. There's a significant change. Even my hairdresser has noticed a difference. She said that my hair looks much healthier and stronger. Thank you for making a great product. I would highly recommend it to everyone.
I finally found a shampoo and conditioner that cleans my hair thoroughly but gently. My hair is much softer and more manageable. The product smells fantastic.
These survey responses are from people just like you sharing their Ovation experiences of thicker, fuller, stronger, and longer hair. Improve the health of your hair with Ovation Cell Therapy. Log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special introductory discount. That's OvationHair.com. And remember to enter AM760 for your special discount. OvationHair.com.
Ovation is so good, it's guaranteed.
It's time to buy that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday nights, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at DenverBoatShow.com. Life is better with a boat.
Attention business owners, don't rent electricity, own it. Learn now at Independent Power Systems Commercial Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar Experts will show you how your business can go solar with low upfront costs and how rebates and federal tax grants can yield a 5 to 7 year ROI. Boulder County business owners can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program to go solar for zero down and one annual payment. Green your business with solar and never pay another electric bill. Learn how in Boulder, Tuesday, January 26th at the St. Julian Hotel and Tuesday, February 2nd at the Dairy Center for the Arts. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. In the neighborhood, drop by our Boulder office January 21st at 7 p.m. for the Solar Community Night. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. Call 303-443-0015 for details or visit solarips.com/KKZN.
All right, here's the deal. Now, Campbell's Chunky Soup, always filling and delicious, has 23 soups with all lean meat and a full serving of vegetables. And here's the deal of deals. Get $5 in money-saving coupons at Chunky.com. Campbell's Chunky.
Unlimited local use, never busy fax line, e-fax to email, high-speed internet.
These are the features offered in Liberty Bell's small business bundles.
Anonymous call rejection.
Call transfer, call waiting.
All at one low price.
Custom ringing, continuous redial.
No hidden charges.
It's alert.
Priority call.
At a fraction of the cost of Quest.
Voicemail to email. Automated off-site data backup with unlimited tech support for data recovery.
Website hosting, development, optimization, and free video studio. Email. Host.
Call now, 303-BUNDLES, 303-BUNDLES, or 303BUNDLES.com.
All right, we're going to throw a little bit of an audible here. We got a couple calls about that I want to take. And so what we're going to do is, after the top of the news, the national news at the top of the hour, we will come back and play this Onion video. If you can't stick around, if you're in the car and you can't stick around and listen in, just go to our website, am760.net, click over to the David Sirota page. I promise you that it will be one of the funniest things that you've seen in the last while. I mean, when I saw this, I was crying. It's an Onion dispatch, an Onion video dispatch about the Republican Party. We'll play it after the top of the news. Stick around for it. Let's take a couple calls here. Jim in Arvada. Jim, you're on AM 760.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring something up. Everybody's making a big discussion about the medical marijuana, but I think we should call it what it is. And I would guesstimate 50% of the people going to the medical marijuana dispensaries don't need medical marijuana.
Are you a physician?
No.
Well, how are you making that diagnosis?
From the news reports, what they're trying to do is legalize marijuana. But I would, you know, 50%.
Well, let me just stop you there, and I will acknowledge. I'll come halfway and say I will acknowledge that. Sure, there are some people who want to use marijuana recreationally, who are using it under the guise of medicinal use. But I also think that there are a number of people who are using it medicinally, and maybe you as a non-physician think have a different definition of medicinal than physicians. I mean, I don't think only cancer patients have a medical use for marijuana.
You just said some and some. It's 50%.
Well, I'm not making a precise 50%. I'm saying there's a mix here. You can't say that most. I'm not willing to say that most people who are using marijuana through the medical marijuana system that we have right now. I'm not willing to say, because I don't have the evidence of it, that quote unquote most people are using it for that. I just don't buy it.
Why?
Why?
You hear what they were talking about on the news? They said that anybody can go in. I have an earache. I can get a prescription.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I'm.
That's not true, Dave. I'd love to. Let's do a little radio test. Why don't you go try to get one? Just go into one and say you have an earache and get a medical license. Let's see if you can do that.
Yeah, well, and Turk is right. And I also want to say, Jim, I also want to say this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if a doctor prescribes, let's use the idea of let's just say general pain. Okay, I mean, wherever it is, back pain, you're saying that you don't think it's a legitimate medical use to use for, quote-unquote, an earache. Now,
No, I did not say that. I did not say that. I'm saying that it's a great medical use. We just got some from my father-in-law.
Okay, so what are you saying?
Well, what I'm saying is that the big discussion about having it near schools and stuff, if we went down there, you and I, just go down there and sit and watch the people walking in there, that they say they need medical marijuana, I'll bet you 50% of them don't. They're stoners. You know, you sit there and watch the people going into a dispensary.
Yeah, Jim, you're entitled to your opinion. Okay,
you know?
you're entitled to your own opinion. I just think that's an opinion without thought. You're looking at people and making a decision. Well, they look like a stoner. They're probably a stoner. And so most people going into the medical marijuana dispensaries are just stoners who want to get, you know, who want to get high. And without having a discussion about whether that's okay or not, because I think there should be a recreational alternative to alcohol. But without even getting into a discussion of that, I just think you're painting with a broad brush without actually thinking that maybe it's not as cut and dry as you're sort of presenting. That you're presenting a case based on merely your own perception.
If you really think that there's that many people with pain, there'd be a drugstore in every corner.
Hey, you know what, Jim? Have you ever turned on the television? Do you see how many drug ads there are out there? Hundreds of millions of dollars. You don't think people in this country are that there's not a demand for pain-killing drugs in this country? Flick on the television. Are you kidding?
Dave, I got 3 Walgreens within, 2 miles of my house.
I mean, exactly.
Three Walgreens.
What is this guy talking about? Jim, take a drive through town. Take a walk through town.
Is he like sitting around camping out and watching people going into these dispensaries and saying, stoner, that guy looks like he might need it medicinally? Hey, if I was to sit and profile people going in and out of liquor stores, I'd probably see a lot more freaks, don't you think?
There you go. And the point here is you can't make an argument that that if there wasn't demand, that there's not demand for drugs in this country. Clearly, when you flick on the television and you see hundreds of millions of dollars worth of pharmaceutical ads, and you see a pharmaceutical industry that is rolling in cash, one of the wealthiest industries in our country, to argue that there's not a lot of demand in this country for pain-killing drugs, Jim, come on, man. You got to come into the AM 760 Progressive Dojo with better arguments than that. 852 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Check our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. We got one of the funniest videos I've ever seen up there about the Republican Party. We'll play it for you after the top of the news. And also, the picture of Scott McGinnis. Who do you think Scott McGinnis looks like? Scott McMakeover. He went Grecian formula, shaved his mustache. I think he looks like Mitt Romney. A couple of you have emailed in with who you think he looks like. Somebody said he looks like he now looks like Steve Carell from the 40-year-old version. You got to check out the before and after picture. We'll get back to your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Still got this crash near the mousetrap, eastbound I-70 at Washington. Stop and go jams back past Pecos Street. Also heavy coming southbound on I-25. Normal spots up in North Glen. 104th now. It's starting to loosen up a little bit. 120th is no longer the problem. It's a little further south for you. Going to break loose after 84th. More jams there after I-70 approaching 20th. On the turnpike, heavy jams in Westminster again as you get closer to Boulder after Flatiron Circle. And we're still working this crash northbound Sheridan at 6th Avenue. Forecast, partly sunny, light winds, and a high of 58. Right now, 41 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Bear Grylls is back in action tonight on Discovery. This time, he's not about showing you how to stay alive. He's about showing you how to be alive. And that's why we love him. Man vs. Wild, a new season of adventures begins tonight at 9 on Discovery.
Hi, this is John Elway. When it comes to vision correction, Icon LASIK has the most experience in Colorado. Icon uses the latest laser technology, including bladeless LASIK, at affordable prices starting at $4.99 per eye. All reasons why I selected Icon LASIK. You should too. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit iconlasik.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
AKZN listeners, here's an important announcement on identity theft from Police Chief Joe DeLaTorante.
As a police chief, identity theft was always a problem, but never at this level. The New York Times reported the theft of over 130 million credit and debit cards, and with potentially millions of stolen cards hitting the internet, maybe mine, I didn't want to risk it. I signed up for LifeLock, and you should too. Why risk suffering identity theft when just $10 a month helps protect you? You don't need to be a police chief to know that credit monitoring alone doesn't protect you, let alone help repair the damage after your identity or credit cards are stolen. Learn why this police chief chose LifeLock.
KKZN listeners, call now and mention Radio 10 to receive an additional 10% off. That's like 1 month free. Call 1-800-567-5594. 1-800-567-5594. That's 1-800-567-5594. 1-800-567-5594.
Introducing the new Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express. The only charge card that earns triple points on airfare, double points on gas and groceries, a single point on everything else. Points you can use for over a million rewards, including travel on any airline, anytime. The annual fee for the first year is on us, and you can earn 10,000 bonus points with your first purchase. Start earning brilliantly. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com to apply.
See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
It's time to buy that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday nights. Sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at DenverBoatShow.com. Life is better with a boat.
How would you like to improve your memory in just 10 minutes? That's right. You can start improving your memory when you call in the next 10 minutes for a free supply of Neurostin. 1-800-600-8199. Phone lines are open now. Neurostin is a scientific breakthrough with clinically proven ingredients that can dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration, and help reverse years of memory loss. Call in the next 10 minutes for a free supply. If you want your brain back, if you want to remember telephone numbers, people's names, and where you put your keys and glasses, Neurostin's all-natural ingredients can help dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration. See for yourself. Try it risk-free now. Start improving your memory now. Call in the next 10 minutes to try all-natural Neurostin before you buy it.
Supplies are limited, so get your free trial now at 1-800-600-8199. Phone lines will be open for the next 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-600-8199.
8:57 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Mick in Denver. Mick, you got about 30 seconds here before the national news. Fire away. Hello, Mick. Mick is gone. Okay. No Mick. Well, here's what we're going to do after the national news. We're going to get into a discussion. I'm going to give you my take on Mark McGuire. I know he's been making a lot of news about whether what he did is whether his admission is real news or not. Play you a clip from the NBC News that tells us, I think, more about the media than it does about Mark McGuire. Also, we're going to play this video of one of the funniest things that I've seen in a long time about the Republican Party. It's posted on our website if you want to check it out there, see the visuals. We'll play it for you as well, and then we'll open up the phones, open up the AM 760 Dojo. Stick around.
AM 760 and CBS News bring you audio on demand on AM760.net.
60 minutes.
CBS News.
Face the nation.
Stay informed with AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk, and AM760.net.
Please stay tuned for a free weight loss offer following this story.
I gained my weight after I had my first child, and within a year, I gained like 150 pounds. For 20 years, I tried everything, you know, from different diets, exercising. One time I seen a friend, and when I seen her, she was slim. So I said, how did you do that? You know, how did you get so skinny so fast? And she was like, right-size smoothies. So that's when I decided to try right-size smoothies. And when I first started, the first 30 days, I lost 30 pounds. And by the time I hit a year, I lost 143 pounds. When I look in the mirror, I see a beautiful person now. I love the Right Size Smoothies. It's the best thing that happened to me.
If you would like to try Right Size Smoothies for free, call now for a free 2-week supply. If you don't lose the weight, you'll never pay for the smoothies. Call 1-800-900-3967. 1-800-900-3967. That's 1-800-900-3967.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Peter Mayer reporting live from the White House, where President Obama has just outlined a major U.S. effort to help earthquake-ravaged Haiti.
The people of Haiti will have the full support of the United States in the urgent effort to rescue those trapped beneath the rubble and to deliver the humanitarian relief, the food, water, and medicine that Haitians will need in the coming days.
Speaking within the past hour, the president said he has ordered a forward-leaning operation.
We've mobilized resources to help rescue efforts. Military overflights have assessed the damage, and by early afternoon, our civilian disaster assistance team are beginning to arrive.
Mr. Obama describes the situation in one of the poorest countries in the world as a cruel and incomprehensible tragedy. I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. Now with more, here's Steve Kathan.
The story in Haiti after the quake is very grim. Scores of collapsed buildings, many people dead, injured, and trapped. The overall toll far from clear. Some people have been rescued from the heavy debris.
We know at least one hospital has collapsed. Others have been damaged. I think one of the major needs, of course, for medical teams and medical supplies for those injured and those coming out from under the rubble.
John Holmes leading the UN relief effort in Haiti. At the UN's headquarters in Port-au-Prince, at least five people died. More than 100 others are missing. Throughout the country, electricity and water are in short supply and phone communications nearly impossible. Pastor Joseph McCarthy has been trying in vain to get in touch with people he helped when a team from his New Jersey church went on a mission there recently.
We've not been able to establish any contact like so many other people in this nation, and of course we're terribly concerned. We're in shock, and we're certainly in prayer.
Aftershocks have only added to the trouble in Haiti, and the Red Cross figures some 3 million people are in the disaster zone. John Tripp's team from the Los Angeles County Emergency Office hope they're given the green light to go in.
We're pretty much geared up to be self-sufficient. We will go with vehicles. We will go with our own food and water to basically be self-sufficient for approximately 10 days.
This is where the airport in Haiti is good enough to allow relief planes in. The condition there is okay. It's unclear if any flights are leaving the country. In Washington, some big bankers are being told to tell the tale of the financial meltdown before a special panel.
The system clearly needs to be structured so that in the future, private capital,
rather than government capital, is used to stabilize troubled firms promptly before a crisis takes hold.
Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein says he thought some of what his firm did to contribute to the crisis was improper. Another exec says compensation's been overhauled to discourage excessive risk-taking. A bipartisan committee has sent to Congress its proposals to try to stabilize the national debt. It recommends a combination of spending cuts and taxes. Right now on Wall Street, the Dow is up 9 points, NASDAQ up 2. This is CBS News.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there is powerful information you need to know about the government's bailout of credit card companies. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. With monthly payments you can afford, credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all. And that's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-0907. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your credit card debt in a government bailout era, call 1-800-400-0907. That's 1-800-400-0907. 1-800-400-0907.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. People in the Denver area who have ties to Haiti are having very little luck this morning finding out what happened to family and friends after last night's earthquake. Karen Ashmore is the executive director of the Lambie Fund of Haiti. She says she is still waiting for any word from her team in the capital of Port-au-Prince.
We have a storefront office near downtown, and it's in near all of the devastation, and I have not been able to get through to my office, to my staff members. It's extremely worrisome.
Ashmore says the only communication she's gotten from friends in Haiti is indirect through Twitter. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper says he doesn't have a running mate yet, but he has officially announced that he's running for governor of Colorado. The governor announced his plan to run for the office being vacated by incumbent Bill Ritter, who says he will not run for re-election. In sports, a big win for the CU Buffs last night. They snapped a 9-game losing streak against ranked opponents, beating number 22 Baylor 78-71 in Boulder. Colorado is now 9-0 for the first time at home since the 82-83 basketball season. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where police are still cleaning up a crash. This is eastbound I-70 at Washington. That's about it for trouble spots on the metro highways. Now, it could be a little bit sluggish as you're traveling southbound on 225, Yosemite to I-25, but that'll maybe add a minute to your drive. Westbound 36, also heavy as you're Boulder bound, trying to get past foothills, but again, no serious delays. Surface street accidents, Spear and Colfax, and then a rollover at 14th and Claremont. Quick check on today's forecast. It's a mild one today. Day with mostly sunny skies, highs in the mid to upper 50s. Currently, it is 39 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Today at
winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snowplow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
I want to play for you this video just because it's so funny. And it's a little old. It's a couple months old. The Onion puts it out on their webpage. They've got these video dispatches on their webpage. But it's just about the state of the Republican Party, and it just makes so much sense. And you really got to see it to see the rendering of Ronald Reagan, because it's so funny. But you'll get a sense of it in the audio of it. And it's on our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Here it is,
The an Onion Dispatch, the Onion News Network, as they call it, a pretty spot-on commentary about the ideological bankruptcy of the of today's Republican Party.
Months of struggling to find their footing, it looks like the GOP has finally found an effective spokesman. Since Republican leaders unveiled the reanimated corpse of Ronald Reagan at a fundraising event last week, the undead former president has quickly emerged as the new face of the Republican Party.
Michael Steele was a good attempt at finding a new kind of face for the party. So was Bobby Jindal. But in the end, they just didn't represent Republican ideals as well as a 100-year-old dead man.
Since Reagan was brought back from the grave by GOP leaders in a top-secret $2.2 million reanimation project, poll data shows Reagan with a higher favorability rating than all other high-profile Republicans combined.
The voters know Reagan. They trust Reagan. When he moans at them, they're going to listen.
Making Reagan's position as party leader official, Michael Steele stepped aside as Republican National Committee chairman this Monday to make way for Reagan's walking corpse.
There's questions as to whether he still has capacity for thought, and he does eat people, but big picture, he's the best option they have right now.
Between his six times daily feedings, Reagan has been appearing on talk shows to criticize the Democrats for overspending.
You really have become a phenomenon among the conservative movement on health care. You feel that passionately about it.
And appeared in a series of GOP ads promoting the Republican Party's traditional values.
Congress and the president say they're trying to help fix our country's economy. Ronald Reagan and the Republican Party have the right idea for America's future.
Despite his criticism of the Democrats, Reagan seems bent on forging a working relationship with them. And Reagan has already begun creating policy for the GOP. Bobby Jindal and Florida Governor Charlie Crist were among the Republicans who headed off to a remote mountain resort with Reagan yesterday for an all-night strategy session. Today, Jindal returned to Louisiana praising Reagan. In other news out of Washington, the EPA announced it has lost the endangered species list.
So that's, I kind of love that dispatch, man. That is just so funny. It's so right on.
You know, Dave, I think, you know, working with you is great and all, but I think the greatest job in the world might be to work for The Onion.
Oh, man.
You know, wouldn't that be fun?
It would be
come
so...
Up with The Simpsons, to write for The Simpsons. Or South Park.
Yes. Those are the, it's, you know, and it's telling and sad that you get sort of at least more of the thrust of the truth from those outlets than you do in many cases from our media outlets. And I just wanted to play that because it actually has a social commentary, right? That the Republicans are so ideologically bankrupt, are so rudderless that you could almost see them trying to resurrect the undead corpse of Ronald Reagan to head their ticket. And I think that's actually, again, figuratively, what they are trying to do in many ways with their rhetoric. The Tea Party folks, the anti-tax movement, I think that's what that's trying to do is resurrect the spirit of Ronald Reagan and what he represented in the public's mind. Of course, he didn't really represent that in his politics and in his policies. Right, I mean, everyone, oh, the Reagan boom was all about cutting taxes and less government. Meanwhile, it was a good old-fashioned Keynesian economic boom. Think Reagan defense budgets, right? That was just a big boost of spending. But I think the Republican Party is trying to resurrect the image and the memory of Ronald Reagan, if not his 100-year-old undead corpse. Check out the video. You got to see the video. The funniest part of that video is what you got to see. It's at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. The funniest part is when they talk about him being appointed chairman of the Republican Party. There's a USA Today headline that says, Reagan's undead corpse appointed RNC chair. And then the subhead is Reagan colon marr. It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny stuff. And speaking of the media, when I say that you do tend to get a lot more of the truth from a lot of the satirical media outlets, The Daily Show, The Onion, et cetera, et cetera. Speaking of the regular media and how you don't get the truth or you get a skewed vision of the truth, I want to play for you, if we can, this clip from Brian Williams, the NBC news anchor, about
the Mark McGuire controversy. Okay, Mark McGuire comes out and says, you know what, I'm going to admit it. I was shooting up steroids while I was in my, while I was hitting home runs, while I was in my heyday, while I was breaking home run records. You know, this is not a big shocker. And the question is, why should anybody care? Is there anything underneath this controversy that sports fans and non-sports fans should care about? Well, to get into that discussion, I want to play for you the top of NBC News' broadcast from yesterday. This is Brian Williams talking about, introducing the story about Mark McGuire. Just loading it up here.
Sorry, Dave. Just give me a second. I'll have it for you.
Okay. And I want you to listen to this when we get it online here. I want you to...
So you've got your amazing new HD...
When we get it online
yeah,
here...
Yeah, starting to play ads and going through this roll again thing every time I try to pause it, Dave.
So no problem.
I'll get the ad paused when it's finished, and then it'll be right.
I want people to think about this in terms of Walter Cronkite, right? To think about the change in our media. Because I think that the McGuire situation says a lot of things, not just about Mark McGuire, but also about our media. And when I say that, I want you to think about Walter Cronkite and what he used his platform to be outraged about, and what people who are in a similar platform or on a similar platform today use their platform for. Because I think it says a lot about what our media is willing to get upset about and what it's not willing to get upset about. And I think that says a lot about what we as a society are focused on and what we as a society are not focused on. And Turk's hat just got thrown off. So that means that we're not going to have this clip for you. So let me just explain it to you. Brian Williams spent the top of the national news on NBC railing on Mark McGuire, telling us how angry he was about Mark McGuire. And what I think is sad about that is that Brian Williams never expressed the kind of rage that he expressed last night at Mark McGuire at any of the Bush lies, right? At any of the lies about the Iraq War. He didn't express any of that anger at Wall Street executives who ripped off the taxpayers and destroyed the economy. Somehow, we're supposed to fire all of our energy, all of our anger, channel it all at a sports icon. Now, I think Mark McGuire is, you know, shameful. It is absolutely shameful to use illegal drugs to enhance your performance and it skews the game of baseball, and it creates this perverse incentive system where if you're trying to compete in professional baseball, you've got to try to now compete with people who are using these illegal substances, right? That's why it says to potential competitors, to potential players, hey, if you really want to compete, you're going to probably have to compete by using drugs. And so I think Mark McGuire is a product of that system, if not one of the creators. Well, if not the creator, one of the leaders of that system. And I think we all know why that's a bad thing, why it's perverse. But I think, you know, I think there's so many other issues under this, right? There's the issue of why are we so pissed off? Why is the media so pissed off about this, but not about more important issues here? Okay, we got the Brian Williams clip. Let's just, you can listen to Brian Williams. And when you listen to him, I want you to think, remember the name Walter Cronkite.
Because this is a family broadcast, we probably can't say what we'd like to about the news today that Mark McGuire, the home run hitter, the fan favorite from the St. Louis Cardinals, stopped lying today and admitted that he did it while on steroids. For those of us who were raising young baseball fans and baseball players who looked up to Mark McGuire, that summer of 98 was magical stuff as he and Sammy Sosa vied back and forth for the title of single-season home run king. He didn't tell the truth to Congress or to his fans until finally, formally coming clean today. He's been unable to get into the Hall of Fame, and apparently even for him, the shame here was too much. We start off tonight with NBC's Ann Thompson.
Okay, so that's it. We'll just cut it off there. But so Brian Williams uses the top of the news to rail on Mark McGuire, which, again, Mark McGuire, what he did was wrong. But where was Brian Williams, and where is the media? Where are people in his position saying the same damn thing about the issues that actually matter to millions of people? I mean, how out of touch can you be, right? If you have a position like that, and you're going to make this big news-making declaration of anger, stepping out of your quote-unquote objective news voice, and you're going to make this big declaration of anger about a baseball player, what about the declarations of anger about all the people who lied to Congress about the Iraq War? What about all the people who lied to Congress about the Wall Street meltdown? Right? It wasn't so long ago that Walter Cronkite made his name, became famous, in part, for stepping out of his objective voice momentarily to tell us that the Vietnam War was a travesty. How far has the media come when you really think about that evolution, or really devolution? Right? The media makes its name, one of its most famous icons, in the same exact position, becomes famous. We honor him because he had the guts to come out and tell us that the Vietnam War was a travesty. And now, decades later, that same media, the people in his same platform, who liken themselves to Walter Cronkite, right? Brian Williams was a guy who said, you know, I'm walking in the footsteps of Walter Cronkite. There's all this hagiography when Cronkite died. Brian Williams uses that media platform to tell us a big problem, a thing that we should be all so outraged about, is Mark McGuire. What a joke. What a commentary on us. What a commentary on what our society's priorities are. We channel our anger, our emotions, our attention into games when the entire country is figuratively, if not literally, ablaze. And so when people ask me, you know, what do you think about the Mark McGuire controversy, I say, well, one, Mark McGuire is wrong. Mark McGuire should be ashamed of himself. And two, we should be ashamed at ourselves for spending so much time, spending so much energy being outraged at Mark McGuire, because it's a game. And the media should be ashamed of itself for spending so many of its resources, which we're so often told are so limited, on stories like Tiger Woods, on outrage like Mark McGuire. And I think, you know, it's very easy. And yet, you know, the question, of course, is, well, why? Why is Brian Williams spending that time on that? Why do we spend our time? Well, the reason Brian Williams can do that is because it's mom and apple pie stuff, right? It's easy to rail on Mark McGuire. There's no risk in railing on Mark McGuire. There's no risk in saying that what Mark McGuire did was wrong, because everybody knows what he did was wrong. It's like saying, any criminal, anybody who does something clearly wrong is wrong. What's harder, and what journalism used to be about, is to say that somebody's wrong who is in a position of power. Right? What Walter Cronkite did that was so brave was that he said that the government, the people in power, were lying to us about the Iraq War. Excuse me, the Vietnam War. And I think that when you compare what Cronkite did to what Brian Williams has done, when you compare where our focus was years ago versus where our focus is today, where we channel our emotions and anger today, you see a country that is not serious necessarily about its own problems. You see a journalism industry that's not serious about questioning power. You see sensationalism, and you see voyeurism. That's what you see. What do you think? 303-713-7600. What do you think about Mark McGuire? You think it's a bigger societal issue? You think we should care? Maybe you do think we should care. Maybe you think that this is a big societal issue. And I know it's been dominating the headlines. Where
dude,
do you
he's
come
a rot,
down?
Man. Seriously, what a liar.
Well, clearly he's a liar.
Liar. And, you know, I mean, like you said, it touches so many issues with media coverage and them, you know, not paying attention to what, you know, what we should be paying attention to.
I mean, do you think
to.
It's a big
and,
deal?
Actually, Mark McGuire? I think yes, it is for professional sports. To just the average American, you know, probably not. But yeah, man, this means a lot to baseball, dude. This guy broke home run records, you know.
Oh, I don't.
And
I
the
don't...
Mariners has had to go out and parade around for like a month and go to every single Mark McGuire home game or you know road games to see his home runs. I mean, what a waste of time for them.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree that for the sport itself, it's a big deal. I'm
for professional sports.
For professional sports, it's definitely a big deal. And after the break, I'm going to read you an excerpt from one of my favorite writers. He's a guest on our show all the time, sports writer Dave Zirin. He actually takes an even more interesting view than Turk or I could muster. He says that one of the problems here is that we're not even focusing on the owners. Right, that where is anybody asking questions of the owners, of the leadership,
the managers, teammates.
The owners, teammates, but really the sports power structure, right? Why is nobody calling onto the carpet Bud Selig? What about the owners who Dave Zirin alleges effectively through their silence condone this? What about that? Stick around. We'll get to it after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Things looking pretty good now. They just cleaned up that accident on eastbound I-70 at Washington Street. Still a little heavy making your way through the mousetrap right now. Make way for a new crash downtown at Spear and Colfax. Want to let you know, National Western Stock Show is still underway at the National Western Complex. Expect some more traffic on I-70 east of I-25 in between 25 and the airport. Also, Cherry Creek Dam Road shut down through January 17th. Some maintenance going on there, so we will see a lot of traffic on 225 instead as that is shut down till January 17. Forecast, partly sunny, light winds, high around 58 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with possible flurries, but little accumulation, if any, in the city. Highs will be in the low 40s tomorrow, currently 45 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Here's a Want to add value to your home, lower your energy bills, and preserve the environment? Best Way Insulation is a Colorado-owned company that uses blown-in insulation to reduce your energy usage. Best Way Insulation was trusted with re-insulating the governor's mansion and will provide the same great service to AM 760 listeners. Ask the experts at Best Way Insulation about federal tax credits and energy company rebates available to customers in Colorado. Go to bestwayinsulation.com to go green and save green. That's bestwayinsulation.com.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
303-413-8664 today. That's 303-413-8664. Or visit your local GEICO office at 2875 28th Street in Boulder.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. There's a new poll out printed in the Denver Post today. After a recent attempted terrorist attack set off a debate about full body scans at airports, a new McClatchy poll finds Americans lean more towards giving up some of their liberty in exchange for more safety. 51% of Americans agreeing that it's necessary to give up some civil liberties in order to make the country safe from terrorism. We'll be discussing that tomorrow. Right now we're discussing Mark McGuire. We're also getting your instant messages about all the issues we've been talking about this morning. We talked about medical marijuana and the debate in the state legislature about that. We talked about Mayor John Hickenlooper announcing for governor. He is already being attacked as a tax raiser. And I got to tell you something, I'm critical of Hickenlooper on some things, but I think he's been brave in talking about the need, in the past at least he's been brave, in talking about the need to value taxes and the value of tax dollars and at times of raising taxes to pay for social good. And I think that this is where this debate is going to end up going. Scott McGinnis lambasts him for being supposedly a tax raiser. So I think the good news about Hickenlooper running, among other things, although, again, I've been critical of him, is that it may raise an important tax debate that we need to have in this state. And we're getting your instant messages here about that and other issues. Go to our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Two things I want you to check out. One is the funniest video that I've seen in a very long time about the Republican Party. It's from The Onion. And it is really funny. It's a really funny commentary on where the Republican Party in this country is, basically making the case that the Republican Party is trying to resurrect the undead corpse of Ronald Reagan. It's really funny. It's on our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Also on our website, Scott McGinnis, the before and after photo. Scott McGinnis, somehow in the middle of the gubernatorial campaign, the Republican standard bearer, shaves his mustache and then puts in the Grecian formula. Goes from blonde to, like, weird, artificial, dark chocolate brown. And we're asking who you think he now looks like. I think he looks like Mitt Romney. A couple of you have emailed in at our page. Let's see what you're saying. Somebody says he looks like CNN's old anchor, Aaron Brown. Not bad. He does kind of look like Aaron Brown. Another Tom here says McGinnis is Al Bundy. He looks like Al Bundy. He kind of does look like Al Bundy. Check it out at our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. We have a before and after photo. And we're going to get to the phones now about this Mark McGuire controversy. But before we do, before the break, I said that the controversy in part reflects on our media. Brian Williams, the NBC News anchor, using his platform to rip apart McGuire. And I said, what a devolution we've seen from where an anchor makes news, stepping out of his objective voice, Walter Cronkite, to tell truths about people in power. Remember Walter Cronkite becoming famous for telling the truth about the Vietnam War. Now Brian Williams doing the same thing, but to attack a baseball player. It's just a sad commentary on what our media has become about. And I want to read for you an excerpt, because the McGuire thing really brings up a bunch of different issues. I want to read it to you an excerpt of Dave Zirin's piece. Dave Zirin is a sports writer for The Nation magazine, and I want to just read his take on this. He writes, as early as 1992, every aspect of baseball management was officially on notice about steroids. Major League Baseball Commissioner Faye Vincent sent a memo to every team reading the possession, sale, use of any illegal drug or controlled substance is strictly prohibited. We now know that general managers assessed whether they thought a player was juicing when they made trades. We know that trainers and their lackeys helped the players score a wide variety of performance enhancers. We know that the Dominican Republic, where Major League Baseball invests millions to develop talent on the cheap, has steroids available over the counter. Even with all of this knowledge, the media still demands little more than seeing a parade of players sob in front of the cameras while owners retreat to the shadows. It's not hard to see parallels in the absence of public accountability among the banking titans of Wall Street. For the powerful, profits mean never having to say you're sorry. It's long past time we reframed the question and asked, what did the owners know? And when did they know it about steroids? Why have no owners had to speak in front of Congress? Why have owners been allowed to keep every penny for the big money, big bopping 1990s, while players have been put through the thresher? How have no owners even been threatened with punishment for allowing steroids into the locker rooms? And how in the hell does Bud Selig still have a job? Bud Selig, the commissioner of baseball. In response to McGuire, Selig said, quote, the so-called steroid era is clearly a thing of the past, and Mark's admission today is another step in the right direction. Here's another step, Bud Selig joining the ranks of the unemployed. So Dave Zirin, the sports writer, saying that part of the outrage of this is not just where our attention is, but the fact that none of the attention is on anyone other than the players. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. We'll go to John in Denver. John, you're on AM 760.
Hi, thanks. I'm not really a big baseball fan, but when I see the picture of Mark McGuire with his 10-year-old, like, holding him up and, like, the kid's all happy and, you know, it's just pathetic. And it ties in, to me, it ties into, like, who can you trust? Who's not cheating anymore? You know, like, Wall Street, Washington, I mean, it's just all pervasive, just this bankruptcy in our culture. These people that we prop up as heroes or something.
Well, I would say this, John. I mean, I think that's a really, really smart comment. And I think that that is the question in so many different arenas. But let me flip it around a little bit and say this. That I think the problem is in part, who we say are our heroes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that if you have a culture in society that says our heroes are media celebrities, athletes, and the super rich, that is a, frankly, a population more prone to cheating. That small population is a population more prone to cheating than the general population. And I think we don't heroize, you know, sort of regular heroes, the regular everyday heroes. I mean, I'll tell you who, you want to know who one of my heroes is? One of my heroes is my father and my brother. Now, we all have, and I say that because, you know, they are physicians, and my brother works at a public hospital and at the VA, and, you know, that's a hero, right? Somebody who's willing to do that kind of work that doesn't get them a lot of glamour. And I think that our media society encourages us not to heroize those kinds of people. And so we are selecting as heroes from a population that by virtue of them, of what they do, there is an intense incentive for that population that we heroize to cheat, right? Like a reality TV star, right? Somebody trying to make $200 million a year. Athletes who are under constant competitive pressure. That's a population of quote unquote heroes that the incentive for big time cheating is very, very powerful. I'm not absolving them. I'm just saying that where we choose our heroes is part of the problem.
Yeah, right on, man. I totally agree with that.
And I don't have an answer for how to actually change it other than to say that it's going to require a change, not in the media, but in our attitudes about who we really care about, who we really hold up as role models. I agree, frankly, with Charles Barkley's comment back in 1992, the most famous Nike ad probably ever, where he said, I am not a role model. And the unfortunate part is, and frankly, you know, Nike saying, having one of their people who they promote as a role model saying, I'm not a role model is kind of ridiculous, but there, the message there is true. Who we choose as role models is part of the problem. Hey, thanks for the call, man. John in Denver. John, you're on AM 760.
Too much schadenfreude.
How do you mean?
that we're too interested in building up these heroes and then tearing them down and enjoying the process. I don't care about Tiger. I don't care about McGuire. I don't care about Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien.
So you think part of this is as I mentioned, I mean, I use the term voyeurism. You think we just like sort of watching the explosion, the mess?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I can't deny that, but what's the media?
And go ahead. The media is giving us what we want.
Yeah, you know, here's
it's ratings.
Here's the thing with that, though. Here's the thing with that, and because that's always, you know, actually, and I'm not saying you're speaking for NBC, right? But that's what an NBC producer might say. Hey, look, Brian Williams is just giving everybody what they want when he uses his platform at the top of the news to say this is a story, this is the one story that's worthy of his anger, right? He's giving us what we want. I just think it's a little more symbiotic than that.
It's abrogating the responsibility of what they should be covering.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, but he would say, I'm only doing that because that's what my audience wants. And I'm saying it's symbiotic, right? They have a part in shaping what we want. The media really does. We have a part certainly in deciding what we want, but it's not as cut and dry. They're not only in the feeding role, and we're not only in the demanding role, to mix metaphors. It's very symbiotic, and I think a corporation like NBC News is much more comfortable with its anchor, right? A corporation owned by GE, by the way, is much more comfortable with its anchor railing on basically a powerless person like Mark McGuire than railing on the government, which is really powerful in all sorts of ways over GE and over NBC. Hey, John, thanks for the call. 938 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Stick around. I'll give you a couple more pieces of local news just coming off the wire. After a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Still got this problem, Spear and Colfax. That's the only crash out there around the metro. No problems now on I-70 eastbound there at Washington Street. That accident is out of the way. Speeds back in the 50s in between 70 and the tech center on 225 in Aurora. Want to remind you that the Cherry Creek Dam Road will be shut down all week long. They'll reopen January 18th. Expect some extra traffic on 225 at peak hours this whole week. Your forecast today, partly cloudy, breezy, and still warm. Looking for a high around 58 degrees today. Right now, we're at 47 in downtown Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Finish that bachelor's degree you started years ago. Learn how working adults can complete their degrees at DU evenings or online. Attend an open house at DU on January 14th. UniversityCollege.DU.edu. That's UniversityCollege.DU.edu.
Ever notice your automatic response before a collision? Hitting the brakes, honking, swerving? How about after a crash? Do you call for help? If you're injured or your cell phone's out of reach, you can't. With OnStar Automatic Crash Response, built-in sensors can alert an OnStar advisor who can direct emergency help to your exact GPS location. Help is automatic, in case your response isn't. OnStar is standard for the first year on 15 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
Comcast presents The On Demand Couple. On June 26th, Shaquille O'Neal was traded alone in a new town. He turned to his friend Ben Stein. Luckily, Ben had the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand.
I start and stop hit TV shows and the latest movies whenever I want. This feels like home already.
You too can enjoy the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand. Now only $99 a month for 12 months. Call 1-800-COMCAST today and enjoy access to thousands of on-demand choices, including movies, TV series, and kids shows. And now you can even watch online, anywhere, anytime.
Shaq, you're blocking my movie.
Watch it on my laptop.
You can watch it on your laptop? Wait, that's my laptop.
Hurry and call 1-800-COMCAST today and get the Comcast Triple Play with On Demand for just $99 a month for 12 months. Or step up to our HD Triple Play and get up to $200 back.
Offer ends 3-7-10, applies to starter XF Triple Play for new residential customers. After promo, regular rates apply. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra.
Where can you find the best Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine? The Yak and Yeti Restaurant and Brew Pub. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations, in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. TheYakAndYeti.com.
to buy that boat. Bring the family to the Denver Boat Show at the Colorado Convention Center this weekend. See hundreds of new boats and the latest in boating accessories. Don't miss the Tiki Party Friday and Saturday nights, sponsored by your neighborhood Toyota stores. Discount tickets available at denverboatshow.com. Life is better with a boat.
This is Tom Harbin. Pianos and Pianos, a proud supporter of AM 760, is offering piano lessons for only $19 each. Their state-of-the-art facilities offer grand and vertical pianos, teaching you the joy of playing, as well as learning to write your own music with the latest computer technology. Play all styles, including classical, new age, contemporary, gospel, and more. Just $19. Yes, that's only $19. Only at Pianos and Pianos. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
This is Mario for the law firms of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760. Turner and Henderson are personal injury trial lawyers who have supported Progressive Talk since the beginning. They've devoted their entire legal careers to handling personal injury claims. They represent real people, not big insurance companies or corporations, and they've been successful at all kinds of personal injury claims. Turner and Henderson, call for free consultation at 303-300-1600.
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free demo of your language software, so what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now. 1-800-400-4943. 1-800-400-4943. 1-800-400-4943.
The following is a free offer from the Foundation for Healthier Living. Satisfaction is guaranteed.
The Foundation for Healthier Living is now giving away free two-week trials of a guaranteed weight loss program. If you are concerned about your weight and need to lose more than 20 pounds, you may call and request a free trial now. The toll-free number is 1-800-400-8432. Please note that this free trial is only available to men and women in this listening area. If you do not live in this area, you are not eligible for the free two-week trial. Again, this is a free weight loss trial from the Foundation for Healthier Living. Anyone who is concerned about their weight may call now for a free two-week trial of a guaranteed weight loss program. If you do not lose the weight, you never pay for the product. Call for your free trial now. 1-800-400-8432. That's 1-800-400-8432. 1-800-400-8432.
I believe I was given this gift. The only reason that I took steroids was for my health purposes. I did not take steroids to get any gain for any strength purposes.
Now, what a ridiculous comment from Mark McGuire. I mean, really, if you're just going to come clean, you know? I didn't take steroids to enhance my performance. I took it for health reasons. I mean, give me a break.
It's like Pete Rose, man. I mean, everybody knew he was gambling and stuff, and, you know, it took a while for them to get him called out on it. And then he didn't admit to it, and it took years later, and he admitted it. So, you know, maybe, like, Mark McGuire figures out 12 years later, maybe nobody's going to care.
I mean, you know? All you had to do is look at that guy and be like, dude, you're on steroids.
He looked like he wasn't real.
He didn't look like...
He looked monstrous. And if you... I mean, even like Sammy Sosa, you know? I mean, he was getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
I know.
And Drew Soyshire, the guy that does Nine News Sports, he made a great point last night. He said it's only going to take three more people, I think, for him to come out and, you know, for them to admit that this is a full-blown deal. You know, they need Barry Bonds, and they also need Roger Clemens. And I'm trying to think of the third one right now, but, you know, there's about another three that they'd really like to come out and to say, you know, this is a thing.
I mean, it's so obvious. I remember looking at the old baseball cards I had. You know, I used to I have a big baseball card collection.
Right.
I looked at the old cards of Barry Bonds and Mark McGuire. I had their rookie
cards.
Yeah,
when Mark was with the Oakland A's, and he was skinny.
He was skinny.
Yeah.
The guy looked like a monster. I took it only for health reasons.
I know. When he was asked if he thinks he would have hit 70 home runs if he was not on steroids, he says yes.
That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And the question remains whether we should care about it as much as society seems to care about it. Again, it's risen to the level of NBC News' lead anchor, Brian Williams, leading the news, stepping out of his objective voice to rip on Mark McGuire. And the comparison between that and Walter Cronkite, who did that and made his name. Walter Cronkite did that to indict the government for lying to the country about Vietnam. It just says something. It says that the media today is more willing to get upset
over things that really, frankly, don't matter at least nearly as much as the real stories, economic meltdown, wars based on lies, than they are about sensationalist stories like this. Not to say that Mark McGuire is right. I'm not saying that. Dave Zirin, the sports writer, says the other part of the problem is, why is the media not asking any questions of the ownership of Major League Baseball? That the owners probably knew, general managers clearly knew. Why is nobody calling for the head of baseball's commissioner? What do you think? 303-713-7600. We'll go to Gary in Denver. Gary, you're on AM 760.
Hi, David.
Hey there, Gary.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
I wish we had about an hour to talk about this. It's really a fascinating subject. But, you know, when I look at the media, you know, first of all, I think that there's a lot of things wrong. But the three big things to me are, number one, is America's insatiable appetite for celebrity. We want to know everything about Charlie Sheen, about Tiger Woods. We want to know about these people. And the media plays on that because that's what builds listenership. That's
Gary, I'm glad you bring that up, because the other example of that, of course, this week is this book called Game Change, which is this book out about the 2008 election, which really isn't about anything other than what different campaign aides were saying about each other. You probably heard about it. You know, Bill Clinton said some nasty things about Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton was not that nice to her staff and told that. You're right. We are obsessed as a nation with celebrity over everything else. And I think it's particularly pernicious in politics, frankly, rather than even sports, because you get people who are more loyal to the celebritized individual candidate based on their celebrity rather than on whatever issue position they may or may not be advocating.
Yeah, and we just love to, you know, to look at our celebrities, tear them apart, you know, find out what they're doing. The other part is strictly economics. You know, I remember in the Woodward Bernstein in the All the President's Men, when they were having a meeting with Ben Bradley in his office, and Bradley said basically, you know, this investigation is going to cost a lot of money. My butt is on the line. If you guys come up empty-handed, I've got a lot of people I've got to answer to. And I take a look at the economics in the media today, not only in radio but in TV and in the newspapers, is news now is done on the cheap. If you were to go into Clear Channel today and say, I need $40,000 because I want to do an investigative report on possible corruption in the Aurora Public Schools, they'd laugh at you.
You know, Gary, it's undeniable. The change in our media system and the economics of media, you're absolutely right. And this will explain, you know, why, for instance, it's easier to rail on Mark McGuire than it is to do any kind of investigative reporting. It's easier to regurgitate rumors from the 2008 campaign in a book than it is to do real reporting on other major issues. And I mean, I put on my Twitter feed, and you can always find my Twitter feed, am760.net, click over to the David Sirota page. I put on my Twitter feed yesterday, you know, I wish, you know, there are all these, you know, reporters saying, oh, I'm pouring through this book, Game Change. I'm reading every single page. And I was thinking, you know, why didn't you read every page of the reports, the declassified intelligence reports that came out before the Iraq War? Right? Why don't you read every page of all the reports that came out in the lead up to the financial meltdown? Right? Because you're right. We're obsessed with celebrity. It's simply easier. It's economically easier to focus on meltdowns or controversies like the McGuire controversy than it is to actually do real reporting. That's absolutely true. Great point, Gary. Thanks for the call. Lou in Niwa. Lou, you're on AM 760.
Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I was just wanting to make a, first of all, I think a lot of this is the sensationalism is just a distraction, too. You know, it's like, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And we've been hearing this for years. But my point was to make a difference between heroes and role models. I mean, there's heroes. Harry Truman was a hero when he fired MacArthur, right? And we're not going into China. But role models, I'm an adult. I have three kids. I am a role model in every setting I'm at when there's kids around. I think we're all role models. I don't have to be a hero to be a role model.
That's absolutely true. How do you think that relates to the McGuire controversy?
Well, he was not a role model, that's for sure, and he's no hero either. My son loved him, and when he came out and said, you know, and I said, you know, he's probably juicing, he goes, really? And I said, well, you know, he's trying to get ahead. He's trying to, his business, he needs to perform. You know, I don't perform in the public eye. These guys do. I have no excuses for him. I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame because all he was a home run hitter, and that's what he got out of the steroids, his home run. Now, Barry Bonds, 7-time MVP. Yeah, he was a steroid user. Does he believe deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Probably. Ty Cobb went in the stands and beat up a one-armed guy. He's
well, but
the
here's
Hall
the thing. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. I mean, the problem with saying Barry Bonds, if you think Barry Bonds did steroids, which I believe that. I'm not saying it as a fact. I certainly believe he did. A lot of people believe he did. And if you think that he should be in the Hall of Fame, I mean, I think the reason this is a controversy for the Hall of Fame is because the Hall of Fame is sort of saying, look, if you achieved what you achieved based on false pretenses or based on illegal actions, then you shouldn't be in the
right.
Hall of Fame.
I agree, but I think Barry Bonds, before he started juicing.
Oh, I see. I see.
He had four MVPs by that time already.
I see.
An all-around player.
I see. You're saying, well, that, you know, that's an interesting point. Interesting point. Hey, Lou, thanks for the call, man. 952 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with Captain Turk.
Well, there's not a whole lot of traffic going on out there, Dave. Looks like things are back in the 50s and 60s, right where we like them, on all the major highways around town. You might hit the brakes, though, traveling into downtown on southbound I-25 thereafter, Park Avenue. Also seeing some heavier traffic around the Mousetrap on eastbound 70. Had a late crash there around Washington Street. Cherry Creek Dam Road, still closed through January 17th. Has some maintenance going on there, so we do expect to see a lot of more folks using 225 in the morning and afternoon rush hours. Also, things looking good down on the south end and west end on C-470 and Highlands Ranch and Littleton, speeds in the 60s from I-70 all the way around to E-470. Forecast, partly sunny, light winds and a high of 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, possible flurries, but little accumulation, if any, in the city. Highs will be in the low 40s, currently 47. In Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Come into Qdoba Mexican Grill today and try the new Craft 2 menu. Mix and match two smaller portion Qdoba dishes like the Naked Queso Burrito and Grilled Chicken Quesadilla for just $5.99. Qdoba Mexican Grill, handmade for real.
Now that the holidays are over, it's time to stock up on all the things my family uses most.
Member Yolanda Williams on Sam's Club Savings.
Bounty, Tide, Charmin, you can't beat the prices.
Sam's Club members save up to 37% on laundry and home care.
Those savings could more than pay for my membership.
Become a Sam's Club Plus member January 13th through the 26th and get an extra $100 in e-value savings. Visit your local Sam's Club to learn more. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
Illegal, because you're getting robbed every month. With a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you'll end up paying over $400,000 after interest. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your debts. Let me send you a powerful free CD. For your free CD, call 1-800-449-6151. 1-800-449-6151. 1-800-449-6151.
Rate based on APR of 5.53%. Approval contingent on full underwriting analysis. Check website for licensing information. Premium Capital Funding, LLC, DBA Top Dot Mortgage, 125 Jericho Turnpike, Jericho, New York.
You worked hard to get where you are. A nice house. A couple of cars in the garage. Unfortunately, you've also got an adjustable rate mortgage that could increase any time. But now you can take control, because Top Dot Mortgage, an equal housing lender, is now offering FHA 30-year fixed-rate loans at the historical low of 4.875%. You could save hundreds of dollars a month. You heard me. Hundreds of dollars a month. At Top Dot, we provide a low-stress, customized approach so you can get the right mortgage to suit your individual needs. And right now, you can get your rate absolutely free. Just call 1-800-500-6244. These historically low fixed rates may only be available for a limited time. For free information, 1-800-500-6244. 1-800-500-6244.
I knew the man upstairs gave me the ability to hit this baseball, gave me the hand-eye coordination, my parents gave me the great genetics. But I was running these roadblocks, and by something I very much regret.
Mark McGuire, we're discussing whether you think what you think the controversy around him raises, what issues about the media, not just about what he did. Why isn't the media asking questions about the complicity of the owners and Major League Baseball in general? What is it about this story that we are so interested in? Why do we take it more seriously, or why does the media take it more seriously than the lies that were told to Congress about the Iraq War, about the Wall Street meltdown. 303-713-7600. Also, check our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Two things that you really have to see. One is a before and after picture of Scott McGinnis. Scott McGinnis has gone Grecian, and the question is, who does he now look like? He's changed his hair color, shaved his mustache. I think he looks like Mitt Romney. Somebody said he looks like Stephen Colbert. Somebody else said he now looks like Al Bundy. Another
person, 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah, another person said he looks like Steve Carell. Got to check it out at am760.net. You got to see the before and after picture that just came out. Also, a video, one of the funniest videos I've ever seen about the Republican Party from The Onion. We've posted it on our website as well. We'll go back to the phones. We'll go to Kevin. Kevin in Fort Collins, you're the last call today. Fire away.
Hey, great show, David. You got me thinking when you were talking about your dad and your brother being heroes. It makes me think of the times when I'd be in bed and I'd hear my dad getting up in the middle of the night going to work. I thought of him as a hero, and also my mom working at the hospital. She was a nurse. And those are the people that are heroes. When I see go out walking in the park with my dog and I see Little League and people volunteering their time and raising their kids and doing it right, those seem to be the heroes, because they're not looking for worship. They're not looking for all these gratitudes and that type of thing. And, then I'm sleeping in bed at night, and I hear a train whistle blowing in the middle of the night. And I'm thinking those guys up all night doing their job and that type of thing. So those are the heroes I think there are. And the other guy that was talking about the news media, the money not being there for to investigate things, I think that's really where we're at in this.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And, Kevin, I'm sorry to cut it short, but I completely agree. And that's who the people we have to heroize. Not the media, but our problem is who we choose as our heroes. See you tomorrow.
Attention business owners, don't rent electricity, own it. Learn now at Independent Power Systems Commercial Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar experts will show you how your business can go solar with low upfront costs and how rebates and federal tax grants can yield a 5 to 7 year ROI. Boulder County business owners can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program to go solar for zero down and one annual payment. Green your business with solar and never pay another electric bill. Learn how in Boulder, Tuesday, January 26th at the St. Julian Hotel and Tuesday, February 2nd at the Dairy Center for the Arts. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. In the neighborhood, drop by our Boulder office January 21st at 7 p.m. for the Solar Community Night. Visit solarips.com/KKZN for details or call 303-443-0015. Call 303-443-0015 for details or visit solarips.com/KKZN.
100-8199.